This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. We offer a free Erotica podcast and a premium patron taboo podcast that contains more intensely sexual themes. You can support the Erotica Podcast on Patreon to make requests for subjects. Thank you for listening. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. The Serum by Sign Rites. Chapter 01. Damn it, not again! This was the third time this month that our current test rat had died after taking the serum. I was starting to doubt the damn thing would ever work. Each morning I would get up, look in the mirror and say the following. You are making a difference, Sion. Your work will save lives and do immeasurable good for the world. I doubted the rat felt the same. The theory behind the serum was potentially life-changing. We had observed that certain species of animals can naturally regrow parts of their body if they become damaged or if they lose them for whatever reason, the axolotl being the prime example of this. And now that the genome of these creatures had been fully mapped, the potential was astounding for what it could mean for medicine and human evolution. Organs could be naturally and rapidly regenerated, lost limbs could be regrown, the deaf, the blind, the lame, all could be healed by this breakthrough. If only we could get the damn thing to work. It was getting late, and I really should have been home by now. The initial results had been promising. So promising in fact that I had stayed behind to start preparing a report for the higher-ups whilst my colleagues finished for the day. I had no one to go home to, no one waiting for me to return, so it was no big deal for me to get a start on this. Besides, I had been so excited by our progress, but once again, all we had to show for it was another dead rat. I disposed of the body and began to lock up. The latest samples we had been using on the rat needed to be locked away before I could leave, but a combination of disappointment and exhaustion made me reckless. Normally, before you move any kind of hazardous material, you have to make sure that your skin is as covered as possible, which included gloves, a biohazard mask and goggles at the very least. I had the gloves to hand, but the masks and goggles had already been sealed away by my colleagues before they left. Fuck it, the gloves will be enough, I said to myself. I was not normally one to swear, but I'd had just about enough at this point. Wearing the gloves, I moved the samples from the desk they had been resting on and walked towards the sample cabinet. A sudden crash came from behind me, causing me to jump and drop the samples, the three remaining vials of our current formula smashing on impact as they hit the ground. The contents immediately evaporated, vanishing into the air as if they had never existed. Shit! I exclaimed, scrambling to try and recover what I could to no avail. The lights in the lab suddenly went from a bright, clinical white to red as the biohazard protocols kicked in. The electronic doors automatically locked as a siren started to wail overhead, piercing through my brain, and making the lab seem like a hellish fever dream. I started to feel myself slipping away into unconsciousness. As panic set in, the red was fading to black, the siren becoming more and more distant until finally, nothing. It was a week after the incident, and after a few days spent in an isolation unit, I was finally home. I had been poked, prodded, and otherwise fully examined by the company's biohazard team and other medical professionals, and finally they were happy that I was perfectly healthy and, more importantly to them, not a health risk for anyone else. I had a meeting to attend with the director of the project on Monday to try and explain what happened. I was almost certain it would mean the termination of my contract with them and potentially the cancellation of the project altogether. They would probably justify it by saying about how much money they had lost and how it was my carelessness that led to the incident. But deep down I think I knew they had been looking for an excuse to cancel the project. I stepped out of the shower after and took a deep breath. I had already showered before I left the isolation unit, but in the sanctity of my own home it was more about relaxation and calming than cleanliness. I wiped down the bathroom mirror, a floor-to-ceiling mirror I normally used to check my clothes were pristine, and I was ready to go to work. Stood in front of it now, I observed my naked body. I was about 5'4" with a petite, slender frame, a cup breasts, and barely any ass or hips to speak of. I was pretty, but not stunning, with slightly mousy facial features and a mop of long, auburn hair, a shade darker than normal due to being wet, that currently clung to my shoulders and my back. In silhouette I could have easily passed for a man, albeit a slightly feminine one. I had never had any issues with my appearance, believing it not to be relevant to my job, so not important, but as I stood looking in the mirror with the meeting with the director looming ahead of me, my thoughts moved to how I looked for the first time in ages. It's so stupid, I said to myself. I'm on the cusp of a medical breakthrough that will change the world, but I'm likely going to get fired on Monday because of something that wasn't even really my fault. Yet if I walked in with a pair of massive tits, a tight skirt and big ass, I'd get all the funding I needed and more besides. I looked down at my minuscule chest, nipples poking out of the tiniest bulk of additional flesh. Even if I was just one or two cups bigger, it's so ridiculous the difference it would make. I felt a faint sensation in my chest and around my breasts, almost like a tingling feeling. I placed my hands on my breasts and gave a short gasp. As quickly as it had come, it was gone. That was weird, I thought to myself. As I was moving my hands away, I suddenly realized I had more of a handful in each one than before. I looked down as they moved away completely. What the fuck? Where there had been next to nothing before were a pair of pert, perky breasts, definitely at least a C cup. In shock and awe, I tentatively placed my hands back on them. They were completely real and felt soft to the touch. A rush went through my body as I gave them an exploratory fondle, something I was unfamiliar with to say the least. I looked in the mirror and saw them reflected back, two new love pillows that weren't there before. I hopped up and down marveling at how they jiggled but stayed so perky. What the fuck? I said again, but with a smile and almost a laugh. How could this have happened? How are my tits bigger? My thoughts went back to the incident, and what had happened. When I had dropped the vials, they had smashed and evaporated instantly. This must have made the serum airborne, I breathed it in. But that was dangerous, what if what happened to the rats happened to me? I was concerned for a moment. It had been nearly a week. The rats had lasted no more than 36 hours. If I was going to die, theoretically it should have already happened. This was amazing. But it still didn't explain why I now had bigger tits than before. The serum promoted growth of missing limbs, not of existing tissue, and certainly not just breast growth. Then again, it was still in its experimental phase and we had never tried it on a human subject before. As all this was going through my brain, I suddenly realized that I was still casually jiggling myself, my new tits wobbling pleasingly as I gazed at myself in the bathroom mirror. What caused the growth? What was I doing? Something must have triggered it, but what? As I thought back over everything that had happened in the bathroom, there was a sudden ringing of my doorbell. Who was that? I grabbed my phone and checked my doorbell camera. It was my next door neighbor, Susan. Hi, Susan. I said through the integrated intercom. Hi, Sion. Just wanted to come over and check in on you. You seem to have dropped off the face of the earth for a little while. Of course, Susan, thank you. I'm okay though, don't worry. Can I come in? I have some stuff I want to run past you for my holiday. God damn it, I'd said I would do that with her when I got the chance. Now wasn't the time though, I needed to deflect her somehow. Now isn't a great time, I've just got out of the shower, could we maybe do this another day? I would hun, but we leave on Monday and I need your opinion now. I would have come over sooner, but you haven't been in. Of course, it had been a full week. There was no way around this was there. Sorry Susan, time has gotten away from me. Give me a moment to get the door open and take a seat, I'll just be a couple of minutes whilst I get ready. Thanks, hun, came her cheery reply. I released the door lock on my phone and let her in. I wanted to explore what was happening to my body more, but it would have to wait until I could get Susan back out of the house, I didn't want to freak her out. I slipped my knickers and jeans back on and went to do the same with my bra, only to realize there was no way my new tits were fitting in this thing anymore. Fuck, I whispered to myself, trying to think of what to do. You okay, hun? Came Susan's voice from the other room. I'm fine, just trying to find something to wear. I wasn't lying at least. I had no choice but to stick the t-shirt I had been wearing back on. It wasn't necessarily a squeeze, but there was a noticeable difference than before. I couldn't help but admire this in the mirror before I grabbed a cardigan on my way through to try and attempt to cover them up and avoid any questions from Susan. So, what was it you wanted me to look at? I'm trying to find the perfect bikini for me to lounge around the pool with, and you've always been so much more stylish than me, I just wanted your opinion. I brought pictures. Okay then, show me what you've got. She spread out a few images seemingly cut out from fashion magazines on the table in front of me. There was a range of different women, each of differing breast size and apparently wearing smaller and smaller bikinis the bigger their tits were, as if the designer had to make all of the bikinis with the exact same amount of material for each woman. It was strangely arousing. So, what do you think? At this moment in time I was honestly thinking about how I could wear one of these now. Snapping out of my own little fantasy I asked. They're all nice, but is there one in particular you like? Well you see I'm not sure, I don't know which of these will work with what I've got. Well, show me then. Where the hell did that come from? First new tits and now I was asking a neighbor to flash me? Clearly my mind was still spinning from what was happening. Oh, sure, okay, replied Susan with surprising willingness. Susan unbuttoned her blouse revealing a nice pair of what I would have guessed were DD cup breasts and a well-fitted lacy bra that accentuated her cleavage. So, what do you think? She asked again. I said. What I think is, I'd love a pair of tits like that, Susan, that's what I think. The tingling sensation returned to my chest. God, it's happening again. I'm feeling a little flustered, Susan, would you mind grabbing me a glass of water? Oh yeah, sure. She said turning and walking towards my kitchen. Once she was out of sight, my attention returned to my tits, which were now swelling out and stretching my t-shirt. The hem of the shirt raised above my belly button as the cloth was dragged up trying to accommodate the two melons growing beneath them. As before, the sensation went away and the growth stopped. I was now staring down at a perfect pair of what must have been DD breasts. I was starting to realize what was happening. But I could hear Susan on her way back from the kitchen, so I tried to cover up as best I could, the cardigan barely fitting around my ample boobs anymore. Thanks, Susan. I said, cautiously taking the glass from her with one hand whilst trying to keep my tits concealed with the other. Not a problem, hun. I needed to get her out of here so I could test my theory. I'm feeling really washed out. I think I need to go and have a lie down. Oh, hun, is that why you haven't been around this week? Said Susan, buttoning up her blouse. Yes, that's exactly it. I've been in hospital. Nothing to worry about, just a few changes, shall we say. But I'm fine. Just tired, that's all. Okay, hun, you get yourself back to bed. Shall I leave the pictures and you can get back to me? Yes, of course, Susan, thank you, I replied. She made her way out of the door and closed it behind her. With a sigh of relief, I let go of the cardigan and let my newly even bigger tits hang free. They were impossibly perky, as if gravity didn't exist for them, and so soft and squishy. I suddenly realized I was fondling my boobs and really enjoying it. I needed to stop so I could test my theory, but my boobs were so sensitive, and it felt so good. I stood to make my way to the bathroom and heard a small tear as the back of my t-shirt couldn't contain me anymore and split from the hem by a few inches. Oh well, I never really liked this one anyway. I collected up the pictures Susan had brought around before heading back to the bathroom and standing in front of the mirror. Again, I noticed a pleasing jiggle, even more pronounced than before, and did a few small jumps to make my engorged tits bounce as I giggled at the sensation. Back to business. If I was right, the serum had changed my cellular makeup, and rather than just regenerating lost and damaged tissue, it was allowing me to change manually. That was my theory. I could have been wrong and my tits might just have kept growing in intervals until I was more breast than woman. But if I tried to make it happen, and it worked, it opened up a whole world of possibilities. But what had I been doing when it happened before? I was looking enviously at Susan's tits, wished mine were that size. So, it must be linked to want and desire. I had to use willpower to make it happen. If I wanted it, it would happen. I decided it would be best to remove my top to avoid any unnecessary restrictions, but found that my newly bloated bosoms were blocking me from removing it. This presented a problem, but also a chance to test exactly what I could do. I knew my breasts could get bigger, but what if they could get smaller too? I stared intently into the mirror. I want to be the same size as I was before, I said out loud, making the want clear in my mind. The sensation returned, an indicator of what was happening it seems, and I watched as my breasts slowly but steadily deflated and returned to the tiny tits I had started with. Yes, I exclaimed. This was incredible, a breakthrough unlike anything anyone had ever achieved. I removed the top that was now sagging off me, stretched out by the massive tits that were inhabiting it not too long ago. What else could I change? I needed to know if this had any kind of medical use. I had a mole on the inside of my right thigh that I had been waiting to have removed. I stripped down until I was naked once again, exposing the mole on the inside right thigh. I want the mole gone, I said out loud. The mole shrank into nothingness, leaving nothing but the milky white of my skin. Once again, I was overjoyed. It wasn't working in exactly the way we had originally envisioned, but the serum worked. I couldn't wait to show this to my colleagues. But then a thought, I might not have colleagues to show this to if I don't keep my job, and I can't exactly just stride into the director's office on Monday and say, hey, watch this. All of a sudden, my mind went back to what I had originally said, what no doubt had prompted my first growth. If I walked in with a pair of massive tits, a tight skirt and big ass, I'd get all the funding I needed and more besides. I walked back to the mirror. The pictures that Susan had brought with her were on the side of the sink. I sorted through them all until I found the woman with the biggest pair of tits. According to the advert, they were FS. I like the sound of FS, I said. I focused on the image and the want. The sensation returned as I saw my tits starting to bloat and fill like they had before. It was like watching two water balloons slowly fill to breaking point. Unable to help myself, I grabbed them and started to squeeze, sending shudders of pleasure through my body, still continuing to grow and stretch as the sheer mass overspilled from my hands. Finally, they stopped. I was now packing two huge and perfect F-cup boobs. I let out an orgasmic moan. The sensation of the growth along with the squeezing of my tits had left me so turned on. It took me a moment to return to my senses. Now for the next part. I turned so my back was to the mirror, but I could still see at an angle. There was my flat ass, looking completely out of place compared to my now amazing tits. I want a thick ass, I said. The sensation I had felt in my tits now made its way to my ass, as I watched in glee as it grew and grew. So big, I moaned instinctively. Finally it stopped, my ass now easily three, maybe even four times the size it had been. I laid a slap across one of my cheeks and gasped in pleasure as it wobbled. I turned to face sideways in the mirror, and my figure was now resembling some sort of Amazonian goddess. It was time to do a little clothes shopping for the meeting on Monday. Monday had arrived. I was ushered into the director's office and watched in glee as his jaw dropped. Sion, you look so different, he stammered. Just a few different clothes, I replied. I was wearing a tight, V-necked blouse that showed off almost every ounce of my tits and was wearing a matching skirt that prior to this experience I would have barely called a belt. Thigh-high silk stockings completed the ensemble, making me look the complete opposite of the stuffy lab worker I once was, and making me feel amazing too. I had spent much of the weekend learning to control my growth, to the point now where I only needed to think about it to make the change happen. Just prior to entering the office, I had expanded my tits and asked just a little bit more, to make it look like I was fit to burst. Clearly trying to keep his composure, and failing it must be said, the director started to question me. So tell me what happened at the lab, in your own words please. Well, I was working late, as I tend to do, compiling some new test data. I have it here actually, I had deliberately not gotten the reports out before he asked for them, so it gave me the opportunity to bend forward in front of him and give him a closer look down my blouse. Thinking on my feet, I swelled my tits slightly to accentuate the effect. I could hear him breathing heavily. Good. I wanted the business side of his brain being outworked by his likely tiny dick. Here you go, I said, handing it to him. He took it from me almost nervously, barely able to take his eyes off of my figure. He quickly flicked through the file, his eyes rarely leaving me. He stopped and went to hand the file back to me, and I feigned mishandling it, the file dropping to the floor just behind me. Oops, I said. Let me get that. I stood up out of the chair and turned to where the file had fallen. As I bent over, I made sure he had a full view of my ass. When I had tried this at home, the skirt had ridden up so much, you could practically just see my bare ass. But to make sure, I made another quick expansion to my already sizable butt. Did you see anything you liked? I asked him, trying to remain serious and keep from laughing. The pathetic oaf was practically salivating over my humongous ass and probably completely missing what I just said. Yes, I saw a lot that I liked, he seemed to be saying through an audible gulp. Finally, I returned to the chair. So, should we keep going? His eyes nearly exploded out of his head. Keep going? With the research, I flatly responded. Yes, very good, carry on. He was mopping his brow with a pocket square now, the very picture of corporate slovenliness. Wonderful, I replied as I got up and left. It had worked like a charm. My job was safe, the research was safe, and for the first time in a very long time, if ever for that matter, I felt hot as hell. I walked through the door to my house, closing it behind and letting out all of my excitement. I went in the bathroom to get changed, in more than one sense of the word, starting first with the blouse and then the skirt, leaving me in my new, massive bra, a thong mostly hidden between my huge ass cheeks and the thigh highs. Glancing myself in the mirror, I took in how ridiculously hot I looked. Compared to the first time I had done this a few days ago, my confidence was through the roof. I went to unhook my bra, but then another idea came to mind. It had felt so fucking good when I grew my boobs out to such a big size before. What would it be like if I were to do it again, but bigger this time? The idea of my boobs spilling out over the top of this bra as they grew and swelled was incredibly appealing. As before, I stood in front of the mirror and began to think about my boobs just growing and growing, with no end point in sight. The familiar sensation took hold, as my boobs began to swell and expand, spilling over the bra, now fighting to contain them. I could feel the tension building, the fabric starting to tear as I got bigger, and bigger, until finally, a snap, as the bra gave way and my huge tits spilled out in front of me, each one the size of a beach ball and still growing. I couldn't take it anymore. I tore off the thong I was wearing and started vigorously rubbing my clit. Waves of pleasure washed through me, my moans of ecstasy growing louder and louder as my tits grew bigger and bigger. It didn't take long before I was orgasming, but to my surprise, it wasn't just an orgasm. I squirted all over the bathroom mirror, each of my tits now bigger than my torso and catching most of the splash back. I had never come so intensely in my life. Not wanting it to end but not able to take much more, I finally stopped and got my tits and my ass back to good old normal me. There was so much I could potentially do, so much I wanted to do. My life was going to be very interesting from now on. Chapter 02. Interesting. I was back in the lab. It had been just over a week since I discovered my new abilities, and I had been working feverishly to try and understand them. I had taken skin samples, blood samples, and any other sample I could use. Every test came back the same. I was a perfectly healthy, perfectly normal, and perfectly average human being, with no discernible differences to my DNA, cellular structure, or brain activity. I had posited that the changes may only become apparent when I was actively transforming, but so far I had found no way to isolate a sample to test this, as if my DNA defaulted to normal when removed from my being. The serum as it was when I ingested it was currently in the process of being resynthesized by my team, but the process would likely take weeks if not months. Beforehand, we had previous samples to modify, hence why we kept multiple copies, but we only had the resources to create a limited number of copies, and all of those had been smashed during the accident, so we were effectively back to square one. I had chosen not to inform my team of what had happened until I fully understood it. I also had no intention of becoming a lab rat myself, which I wouldn't have anticipated anyone in my team would want to do, but the wider company I had less faith in. On top of this, I was having way too much fun with my newfound abilities to really want to stop. Every day for this past week, I had been deliberately expanding my bust, hips, and ass just a tiny bit more at the start of each day to see if anyone would notice. It meant buying new clothes that I would actually fit in, but that was the benefit of foresight and next day delivery. Although the idea of deliberately wearing my older clothes to accentuate the difference was appealing, I didn't want it to be too obvious, just noticeable enough for it to be fun. Had I walked in one day the size I was in the meeting with the director, questions would definitely have been asked. Currently, I would say I had about a B cup, enough ass for a small handful and hips defined enough to look feminine. I'd noticed a few choice looks, but nothing had been said. Latest update on the serum resynthesis for you, Dr. Bowley. I looked up to see one of our lab technicians, Dan, standing with a folder for me. I had never thought to consider his appearance before, but I seemed to have a bit more interest in other people since the incident, still unsure if that was a side effect or not, so I took him in before answering. He was about 6'1", slim, similar complexion to myself, not handsome but not hideous either, with short, brown hair styled in a side parting. If you looked up the definition of a lab technician, he would likely be the example photo. Thank you, Dan, I said, taking the file. Dan was lingering longer than I expected. Was there anything else? Well, Dr. Bully, I just wanted to ask if you're okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
What an odd thing to suddenly ask. It was well over a week since I'd come back. What was the agenda here?
Okay, that's good to know.
He turned to leave, but I felt compelled to probe further.
Why do you ask?
He turned back to me.
Well, you were in isolation for a little while and you just seem a bit, I don't know, different, I guess?
Different how? He was squirming a little bit at this point, which I was admittedly enjoying. Finally, it seemed, someone had noticed.
Well, you've been dressing a little differently, and not that I've been staring or anything, but your clothes are a little more figure-hugging, I guess?
I'm sorry, this isn't appropriate. For a workplace, yes, it was very inappropriate, but I really didn't care. That was new.
Well, Dan, thank you for noticing. I have changed up my wardrobe a bit.
Yeah, it looks great on you.
Wait, was he flirting with me? Or at least trying to flirt?
Again, not something I was familiar with. The nerdy, skinny, flat girl normally doesn't get much attention, so I had never learned to crave it. But now that I knew I could get it, I kinda wanted it.
Do you think so?
I replied.
Yeah, you look hot,
he said, clearly emboldened by my apparent willingness to engage. A guy flirting with me. It hadn't really been my aim, but it felt really good to be admired. Like really good. Too good, actually. I realized that I was starting to get that familiar sensation in my breasts and my ass and could already feel myself starting to grow.
Shit.
Thinking on my feet, I quickly covered my body with my lab coat and groaned a little.
Oh, I'm really sorry, Dan. I've got to go. Women's issues.
With that, Dan stepped back with an accepting nod that said I don't need to hear anymore. I ran to the women's bathroom, using every bit of focus I had to try and slow the expansion down. Finally, I got to the bathroom and locked the door. I removed my lab coat, breathing heavily with the strain of trying to hold myself in. I looked in the mirror and finally released. I had decided to wear a button-up blouse today that I quickly realized was in danger of being destroyed by my rapidly expanding tits, their weight and girth already causing the fabric to creak and stretch. I fondled at the buttons, but it was no use. I was still swelling and growing. It was amazing that the blouse had stayed intact for so long. The skirt I was wearing wasn't faring much better, and I could feel ladders forming in my tights as my ass filled out and stretched the material to breaking point. Unable to take the pressure any longer, the blouse finally gave way, each button popping out one by one, the buttons bouncing off of the bathroom mirror as more and more of my engorging tits spilled out over the rapidly diminishing material, feeling so full and heavy. The release as my tits finally hung free was incredible, and had I not been at work, I feel like my hands would have been busy exploring my pussy. My skirt was the next to go. It had ridden further and further up my waist as my ass inflated beneath it, and now my hips were making short work of the material. I heard a tear as the skirt fell to the floor. My ass was too big to be contained by any normal clothes anymore. I felt incredible, the sensation of the stretching and growing bringing me close to orgasm. I couldn't decide whether if someone walked into the room right now I'd be mortified or I'd ride them into an orgasmic haze. Luckily, I had locked the door. I couldn't afford to let anyone else know my secret yet. Slowly, and with a lot of willpower, I finally regained control of my body and shrank back down to the size I had been when I entered work this morning. I could do nothing to save my clothes, however, now laid in a torn pile at my feet, leaving me completely naked. Luckily, I had had the foresight to remove my lab coat before I had released, and it laid in a pile next to the bathroom door. I slid the coat back on and made sure to do up all of the buttons. That's me done for the day, I guess, I thought to myself. Not ideal, but the benefit of being the lead on this project was that I doubted too many questions would be asked if I had to leave. Nothing that couldn't be answered by a likely extremely awkward Dan explaining that I had women's problems. I binned my ruined clothes, unlocked the bathroom door, and left the lab. Back at home and in lounge pants and an old t-shirt, I was sat pondering what had happened at the lab. Why had I spontaneously grown like that? I thought I had it completely under control. Or had I just assumed I had control? Like I had done before I broke down the situation piece by piece. What had prompted the change? Dan was talking to me, he passed me the results. Then he started to comment on how I looked, said I was hot. I started to feel the sensation again, not as strongly, but enough to confirm it. I quickly brought my focus back to keeping everything in order, although it felt like my tits in particular were eager to start pushing this shirt to its limit too. Body under control, I formed a hypothesis in my mind. My body had reacted to being aroused by spontaneously swelling, almost as if my subconscious was shouting, "Look at me." In a way, it made perfect biological sense. Human beings tend to react biologically in some sort of way when aroused anyway, be it releasing pheromones or skin flushing. But my body had reacted by effectively making me more desirable and giving me a more womanly figure. I'd grown so much in the bathroom because I had been focusing so hard on trying to suppress the growth caused by the arousal, and I had just let myself go once I was safe to. That must have been it, surely. It couldn't be anything else, right? Before I could think any further, there was a knock at my door. I could just make out the figure of Susan through the frosted glass of my front door as I rose to let her in. She must have been back from her holiday and wanted to share some stories and snaps with me. I didn't mind, the company was nice even if it did stop me working out exactly what happened at work. That was new again. I opened the door confirming my suspicions.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Sion, how are you, feeling any better?
Like you wouldn't believe,
I replied with a smile.
Come in.
Thanks, she said, moving past me and towards the sofa. Much like with Dan earlier,
I found myself taking in more of Susan than I had previously noticed. She was around my age, so in her mid to late 20s, slightly taller than me with jet black hair pulled back into a neat ponytail. She was wearing a loose-fitting blouse and a pair of baggy jeans that gave nothing away of her figure. It had never struck me as odd before, but remembering the last time she was here and the amazing pair of tits hiding beneath that baggy blouse, why wouldn't she want to show them off? I had only been able to pack out my clothes like that for a couple of weeks and I was loving it. People have different body confidence levels, I suppose. God knows mine were next to non-existent a little over a fortnight ago, but it still seemed strange considering the last time she was here she had also been asking me about bikinis. So, she was clearly confident enough to wear next to nothing next to a public pool, but not confident enough to show off her figure day to day. Odd.
How was your holiday?
I asked, breaking away from my train of thought as I joined her on the sofa.
Oh, it was great. The hotel was amazing. Lots of great food, and such nice staff.
That's good, I replied. Out of both politeness and a little curiosity, I asked.
So how was the bikini? Do you have any pictures so I can see my handiwork at play?
I had gotten back to Susan once I had finished planning for the meeting with the director and picked the skimpiest of the bikinis she had shown me. I was definitely riding high on a little lust and had since slightly regretted the choice, but she had asked which one she'd look best in and for me that was the one I had picked. Attraction to girls as well as guys was also new, it seemed.
Oh, yes, she said, almost with a sigh. I didn't wear it in the end.
What?
Why?
I tried it on and it just didn't look right.
I find that very hard to believe, Susan. From what I saw you were packing the other day, it would have looked amazing on you.
I had never been this bold or brazen about commenting on someone's appearance before, but it was true. Susan would have looked stunning in the bikini I had chosen. I was slightly disappointed that I wouldn't get to see it.
Thank you, you're kind, but it just didn't work out.
Something wasn't right. Susan was usually almost annoyingly bubbly and upbeat, but the woman in front of me looked unsure of herself and was actively avoiding eye contact. I needed to get to the bottom of this.
Is everything okay, Susan?
Yes, everything is fine, she said through a forced smile.
Forgive me if I don't believe you.
She looked down at the floor.
I'd rather not talk about it, if that's okay.
I wanted to respect her wishes, but I was both worried and intrigued.
This really isn't like you, Susan. What has happened?
As she looked back up at me, I realized she was holding back tears. Suddenly she broke down. Instinctively, I moved closer to her to comfort her, and she rested her head on my shoulder blade just above my bosoms. I gave her time to work through the raw emotions, quite enjoying the sensation of her head against my chest but pushing that to the back of my mind and trying to focus on the matter at hand. Once she had had a chance to calm down, I probed further.
Tell me everything, Susan.
Well, as you know, Carl and I have been married since we were young. Things have gotten very dry between us lately. I assumed it was work or stress-related, but with the holiday coming I thought it was the perfect opportunity to try and spice things up again, you know? Admittedly, I didn't. I had never had a falling out with my fingers before. But I reciprocated with a...
Yes, of course. So that's why I wanted the bikini. I thought the sight of me laying in the sun, almost naked with it, would stir something up, you know?
Susan was starting to stir something up in me, that was for certain. I was concentrating on what she was saying as much as possible, but my body seemed to be screaming back at me that it was time to grow. I forced the feelings back and continued to listen. But he saw me trying it on in the bedroom and then... She was trailing off and I could feel another emotional outburst coming.
And then?
And then he told me to get rid of it, that it made me look like a whore. She broke down again, floods of tears pouring from her eyes onto my top. Any thoughts of Susan's body and her close proximity to me were gone. In their place were a mix of sadness, concern, and a building sense of anger. How dare he say that to her? Once she had calmed down again, I continued.
Who the hell does he think he is? He's always been a little conservative with what he likes me to wear, but he's never been that cruel before. Well, did he at least apologize after?
No, in fact he avoided me for most of the holiday after that, and whenever he looked at me, it was like he was looking at something that sickened him. I don't think I'd ever formally met Carl, but at this moment in time I felt like I hated him more than I'd ever hated anyone before. No wonder Susan covered herself up if that was his attitude. How long has this been going on for? The holiday surely isn't the only time.
Well, like I said, we've been a bit dry for a while, he's been ignoring my advances, and there was that one time he slapped my hand away from him.
Wait, he hit you?
No.
No, just a slap on the wrist, that's all it was, I swear. I was absolutely livid. I could feel a knot in my chest that seemed to be expanding and contracting along with my breathing, and my brain felt like it was being boiled. I wanted to do something about this. I needed to do something about this. I had never felt so strongly about something like this, and quite apart from being concerned about the strong emotions I was suddenly feeling, my mind went into overdrive constructing a plan of action.
It's okay, Susan, it's okay, I said, cradling her head. You need a little pampering time to yourself. It always makes me feel better. You can use my bathroom. The bath has a jacuzzi function in it. Feel free to use it to your heart's content. There's fresh towels on the radiator and in the airing cupboard.
That's so kind, Sion, she said through small sobs.
But I couldn't possibly.
Yes, you can, hun. She seemed almost as caught off guard by my use of hun as I was. I guess she was rubbing off on me, but whatever the case, it was enough to get her to agree. I took her to the bathroom and showed her where everything was and how everything worked and made her promise not to leave the bathroom until she felt better.
You're such a good friend, Sion. Thank you so much. Everything will be better, I promise.
I closed the bathroom door and started the next part of my plan. I was going to confront Carl.
Sion, isn't it?
Susan's friend.
What are you doing here? Where's Susan?
I had marched straight over to Susan's house, completely incensed. So incensed, in fact, I had completely forgotten to change out of my lounge clothes.
May I come in, Carl?
Yeah, I guess. Where's Susan? I strode past Carl as he closed the door.
We need to talk.
Do we? He said with almost a grin.
I mean, this is the most we've ever spoken, as I recall. Susan told me about what happened on your holiday.
What do you mean, what happened?
Nothing happened.
So, you calling her a whore is nothing?
Oh geez, she's not spouting off about that, is she?
I couldn't believe how unaffected he seemed. His wife had been in tears and he was acting like it was a complete non-issue.
No, Carl, she wasn't spouting off, as you put it. She was in tears, heartbroken even.
So what, you're here on a crusade to vanquish the terrible husband now? I know you think you're saving the world in that little lab of yours, but that doesn't give you the right to poke your nose into other people's business, especially not mine or my wife's. You might be able to get away with talking to Susan like that, but I'm not Susan. You should be ashamed of the way you've treated her.
Get the hell out of my house, came Carl's curt response.
Not until you guarantee me that you will start treating your goddess of a wife like she deserves.
Goddess?
Ha! Huh. What, are you in love with her or something?
I said get out.
I stood fast, unwilling to move from my position until I knew that Susan was going to be treated the way she deserved. With a surprisingly quick movement, I felt Carl grab my arm and start dragging me towards the door.
Get the hell off me!
I shouted.
Out!
In a brief moment of realization, I felt the knot in my chest unravel and a burning sensation start to take over my whole body. I was growing. But not just my breasts, or my hips, or my ass, my whole body. I could feel every cell of my being expanding and growing, quickly breaking Carl's grip as he stood and gawped at the sight before him. Luckily my clothes had been baggy, otherwise I would have been naked in front of this asshole, but they stretched enough to keep me covered. By the time I was finished, I was still in the same proportions as I had been, but twice the height, and by extension twice the width. I had to bend to prevent myself from going through the ceiling. The suddenly now very small-looking Carl was still staring in disbelief. I grabbed him by his collar, and easily lifted him from the ground closer to my face.
If I ever hear a single bad word about you from Susan ever again, you are going to wish I crushed you here and now, do you understand me?
He practically yelped in response. I dropped him, sending him to the floor with a clatter, not quite realizing how high off the ground I had been holding him. He scrambled to his feet and bolted to another room in the house, slamming the door behind him and locking it. As if that would have stopped me with my current size. Content I had made my point, I focused my mind on returning to my normal size. It took a moment, but I finally started to shrink, feeling calmer as I did so. Where my clothes had been baggy before, they practically dwarfed me now, and I had to grab a handful of the waist of my lounge pants to stop them from falling down. Luckily, I hadn't been wearing a bra or underwear, so I hadn't inadvertently ruined more clothes. As I was walking back to my home, I reflected on my sudden giantess transformation, for lack of a better term. I had been so angry, and it had built up and built up inside me until Carl made the mistake of trying to manhandle me, and it all released. My body had reacted to the external threat by growing in size to overcome it. Once again, the answer closest to science seemed to make the most sense, but I couldn't help but wonder if there was something else. I walked back through the door to my house and could hear the water draining from the bath. My timing was spot on, if quite lucky all things considered. I had enough time to quickly change out of my sagging clothes and sit myself back down on the sofa when Susan emerged from the bathroom. Her hair was back in a ponytail again, but clearly still wet, and it seemed to be clinging slightly to the back of her blouse. She sat back down next to me with a sigh, but a sigh of contentment compared to the misery it had indicated earlier.
Thank you so much, Sion, that was exactly what I needed.
You're welcome, Susan. The jets on the jacuzzi are quite something, right? Susan giggled at my unexpectedly crude innuendo, but she definitely didn't deny it. I placed my hand on her knee.
I've a feeling things will be much better from now on, Susan.
How do you know that?
I have a hunch,
I replied, smiling back at my friend.
I hope so,
she replied. She stood to leave, a smile returning to her face, looking far more like the Susan I knew.
You're a great friend, Sion. I don't know what I'd do without you.
You too, hun. We shared a brief moment of understanding silence before she turned and made her way out of the door, closing it behind her.
You did something good today, Sion. You made a difference,
I told myself. I had not long been asleep after a prolonged session of pleasuring myself by expanding my tits and lifting the covers off, causing them to slink further and further down the bed, when I heard a frantic knock at the front door. I grabbed my phone and checked the doorbell camera. It was Susan, stood in nothing but a silk nightie, and she was once again in fits of tears. What had that bastard done now? Maybe he needed a little more convincing. I got to the front door and let Susan in, where she immediately fell into my arms, sobbing even more deeply than she had before. I moved us towards the sofa and sat her down.
What's happened, Susan? What has done to you?
He's left me, she wailed. The coward. The fucking coward. He had decided to cut and run instead of treating his wife like a human being. I tried to control my emotions, not wanting another situation like earlier when Susan wasn't even well equipped enough to deal with normal right now, never mind extraordinary.
What the heck happened?
I asked.
He's been acting weird all evening, moving in and out of the bedroom, grabbing random things. I didn't realize he was packing a bag.
More sobs. Eventually, and with barely a word, he grabbed the bag and just went out of the door. "I'm sorry, Susan, this is awful, but isn't this perhaps for the best?"
"For the best?
He's my husband. I still love him. I've never stopped loving him since we met, and now he's gone."
I hadn't considered any of this when I had stormed over to Susan's house in a fit of rage. I felt guilt for the pain I was putting her through. Part of me knew it was probably for the best. She was still young, she could do better. But as it currently stood, I had made her world collapse around her, and it was entirely my fault.
"Stay here with me tonight, Susan, let me look after you."
I brought her head to my chest, soft sobs reverberating through me as Susan embraced my bosoms. Through sniffs she spoke.
"Where have you been hiding these breasts, Sion?
I'll explain tomorrow."
Chapter 03
Morning, hun. It was the morning after Susan and Carl had split, and a distraught Susan had knocked on my door in the middle of the night. I had made a bed up for her on the sofa, and she was just about stretching awake as I came into the room, dressed and ready to leave for work in 15 minutes' time.
"How are you feeling today?"
She smiled, but there was still sadness in her eyes.
"I'm okay, everything is still sinking in."
"It must be," I replied. I had brought her a cup of coffee and a small container of milk as I didn't know how she liked it yet. She took a sip of the coffee without even regarding the milk. Black coffee, no sugar, slightly surprising, but I'd have to remember that.
"Thank you,"
she said with another smile. I smiled back, feeling a pleasant warmth from her thanks. I took a seat and sipped on my own coffee next to her.
"What am I going to do, Sion?"
she suddenly said.
"What do you mean?"
"Well, the house, bills, everything. Carl covered almost all of it. It gave me the freedom to do volunteer jobs and the like, but now that he's gone, I can't afford any of it. I'm not even sure I could afford it with a full-time job. He was high up in his company. What am I going to do?"
I could see she was almost on the verge of tears again. Guilt was burrowing through me, but I felt I had the perfect solution.
"Live with me."
"What?
Live here with me." Susan looked shocked.
"I don't know what to say. It's a very kind offer, but I couldn't possibly."
"Susan, this house is already paid in full. Any bills I have barely touched the wages I am paid, and I am not seeing my best friend out on the street if I can do something about it.
You're being so generous, Sion, but I don't want to inconvenience you like that.
Just think of it as a stopgap, Susan, just until you can get back on your feet. It'll be like being in college and having roommates again."
Admittedly, I had never really paid much attention to or gotten on with my college roommates, but the point was what mattered.
"Are you certain it's okay?
You've met me, Susan. I like to be certain about everything."
A pause.
"Just till I get back on my feet?"
"Exactly," I replied.
"Listen, I've got to head off to work now, but here's a key," I said, handing her my spare front door key. "Go and grab whatever things you think you'll need while I'm away. There's an empty cupboard and most of the wardrobe spare. Then I want you to go to the shops, buy a nice bottle of wine, whatever your preference, and we'll drink it tonight to celebrate becoming housemates, okay?"
"Okay,"
she said with a smile closer to Susan I knew.
"Oh, one more thing,"
I said, digging in my pockets. I produced a small black key fob, no bigger than my little finger.
"This is a wireless fob. It's connected to my debit card and should allow you to pay for anything you need wirelessly."
"Oh, Sion, that's too much, surely?
Wine was my idea, Susan, and remember what I said earlier about the bills and such?
Not to brag, hun, but I have money to burn, and I will more than happily spend it on making you feel better, okay?
And besides, Susan, I know where you live,"
I said with a cheeky smile. She reciprocated with a short laugh to herself. Seeing her happy like this was worth all the money in the world to me right now.
Whoa, hang on. Was I falling for Susan?
I pushed the thought out of my head, afraid of what my body would do in response, but luckily nothing happened. I was about to leave when Susan posed one more question to me.
"Sion, I know now isn't the right time, but later you'll have to show me where you buy your bras from, because I was sure you weren't as well endowed as you look now."
"Thank you," I said with a smile. "Way to get me out of explaining that one, Susan." Susan was never far from my thoughts as I drove to the lab. I couldn't quite explain what I was feeling, and as someone so used to being 100% clear on how I felt, I also couldn't decide whether that was a good thing or a bad thing. On the one hand, maybe I had lacked the confidence to engage and to let myself develop feelings before, instead dedicating myself to my work, and because I was actively engaging more with other people, these emotions had blossomed alongside my confidence in my figure and how I interacted with others. Observably, I had been far more driven by pure emotion since the incident, be that anger, lust, or even it would seem love. I had always thought of myself not as being incapable of love, but just not being interested in it, nor had I been interested in most interpersonal relationships except on a purely transactional level. But on the other hand, because of what I was feeling, my body was potentially responding with autonomous reactions that had replaced the standard array of human physiological changes, making it harder and harder for me to conceal my abilities. Hopefully that would soon change, however, as I had plans to redress this balance once I got to the lab. Whilst I had been unable to sleep, and still pondering what had happened with Carl, I had researched experiments into controlling physiological changes brought about by emotional stimuli. I couldn't risk losing control like that again in front of someone. This had led me to the discovery of a few potential formulae I could synthesize in the lab, with the intention to create a disconnect between my emotions and my physiological response, thus allowing me to remain in control and in theory eradicate any spontaneous growth. Until the serum resynthesis was complete, which was being worked on constantly by my team, I was basically free to pursue whatever discourse I pleased, and I intended to use that time to understand what exactly had happened to me and to find ways to deal with it. It took most of the morning, but I was able to fine-tune the formula down to a single, small tablet. Against all protocol, or indeed common sense, I immediately swallowed the pill. Everything in it was perfectly safe on its own, but you can never underestimate the potential for side effects, so it was a stupid thing to do. My newfound confidence had brought with it recklessness, it seemed. For now, I decided it would be best to wait and observe if there were any side effects, but if everything was fine after an hour, I would enact the next part of the test. An hour later, and with no ill effects to speak of, I prepared myself for the next stage. Dan would be my unknowing accomplice as I tested the effects of the tablet. When we had last spoke, him commenting on my appearance had been enough to make me lose control over myself, as my arousal level spiked at the idea of someone finding me attractive. This time I would lead him towards similar comments, and we would see whether I needed to make a sudden dash to the bathrooms again or whether my solution had worked. To make sure the conversation went the way I wanted it to, I expanded my breasts just enough that they remained in my bra, but bulged over the top slightly, the outline of the bulge visible beneath my white blouse and causing a slight stretch in the material. It was risky, because if I was wrong, then I wasn't sure I could make it to the bathroom in time before my rapidly engorging breasts broke free of their material bonds, and there was a chance I could blind someone with one of the buttons popping off, but it was a risk I chose to take anyway. "Hi, Dan," I said as I made my way towards him. "Hi, Dr. Bowley, how are you feeling?" "Much better, thank you, and please call me Sian," I said, placing a hand briefly on his arm. I had read somewhere that this was a technique salespersons used to create a sense of familiarity between themselves and their potential clients.
"Okay, if you say so, Sian," he replied, obviously a little uncomfortable.
"I just wanted to thank you for your kind comments the other day. I'm so embarrassed that I had to run off like that."
"Oh, that's okay, Dr. Bowley.
Sian," I corrected him.
"Sian, yes.
Now to move in for the kill.
So, what do you think of what I'm wearing today?"
"Excuse me?
Well, since you noticed before, and seem to be the only who noticed, I might add, I thought I'd get your full opinion now I'm out of the woods, so to speak."
Dan clearly had no idea how to react. It was a little frustrating. I had hoped to have the test done by now.
"You know, Dan, some experts say that women are at their most fertile right after their time of the month. Did you know that?"
"That was absolute rubbish, and it pained me to say it, but things needed to move along here."
"Are they?"
he finally responded.
"Yeah, and it causes all kinds of physiological changes too, like breast swelling, for instance."
He was white as a sheet, but I had to get something out of him, something to prompt a change.
"See, mine are practically overflowing from my bra at the moment. They look amazing,"
he finally replied, unable to swim in his pool of stupor anymore.
"Do you think so?"
I coyly replied.
"I just feel like they're gonna pop out any minute,"
I said, squeezing my breasts together with my arms and stretching the material out further. Still no physiological response.
It was working.
One final test was needed.
"Would you like it if that happened?"
"Yes," came Dan's response. He was completely engrossed in my breasts and staring at me with a mixture of disbelief and lust. Still nothing. I had done it.
"Thank you, Dan,"
I said to him, smiling as I turned and began to walk away.
"Wait, what?"
came his befuddled response.
"I've got what I needed, thank you,"
I called over my shoulder as I walked away, leaving a confused, aroused, and somewhat dazed lab technician behind me. The experiment had been a success, which was just as well considering the evening that was planned. Part of me had been concerned about the effects of alcohol on my ability to focus on controlling my body, but with the new tablet I had manufactured, I was confident that would no longer be an issue. Susan had gotten multiple bottles of wine for us to choose from, and we were sat talking on the sofa, already one bottle deep into the evening.
"So was there enough space for you things?"
I asked, curtailing the conversation away from how it was our right as women to enjoy a bottle of wine.
"Oh yes, plenty of space. But I couldn't help but notice how many of your clothes look like they wouldn't fit you. Are you on a diet? Are those Target clothes or something?"
"No, no," I said. "Just stuff I used to fit into but I haven't gotten around to getting rid of yet."
"What, when you were 12?
Giggled Susan. She had returned far more to the Susan I knew after a few glasses of wine. It was nice to see her relaxed and willing to cut a joke.
"It was a slightly more recent change, actually,"
I said offhandedly. I would have to be careful here. I felt compelled to stick as close to the truth as possible, but I still didn't really want Susan to know everything yet.
Okay, Miss Scientist, I have a theory for you."
"Oh, do you now?
Just so you know, I'm a harsh taskmaster. It had better be well reasoned and thought out."
I was enjoying this interaction between us, but equally had no idea where it was going.
"I don't think you've told me everything about that incident of yours."
"Okay, Susan, well deduced, but where was she getting this from?"
"Is that so?"
I replied. "Now hear me out, because this not meant in any offense, only cold hard logic."
"I like cold hard logic,"
I replied with a grin.
"I think that the whole thing was a cover up so you could go and have a little work done."
I almost snorted with laughter at the idea.
"You can't be serious?
Me?
Getting plastic surgery?
Hey, hear me out. You've got the money for it. You were far less curvy before, I noticed, don't you worry. And now you are rocking a nice handful in both the boobs and butt department after mysteriously vanishing for a week.
Ergo, busted."
This idea had me in fits. I loved how Susan's mind had pieced all of the different elements together into a story that made perfect sense. Way more sense than what actually happened, to be fair to her. Sorry to burst your bubble, hun, but these are 100% real.
Oh, come on, someone doesn't just get a figure like that overnight.
A figure like yours, you mean?
Well, Susan stuttered.
She clearly wasn't used to anyone complimenting her figure. Had it really been that long? It had never used to bother me because I didn't care what I looked like. But for someone like Susan, who was so naturally well endowed to not have been complimented or lifted up at all for so long that she had forgotten what it felt like.
That was just awful. You're going to make me blush now.
She continued.
Well, what can I do to convince you, Miss Marple?
Well, I don't know, the evidence seems compelling enough to me.
Give them a feel and then tell me they're fake.
I was acting entirely on impulse now. The idea of Susan touching my boobs was thrilling, and because I'd taken my pill, there was no chance of my boobs suddenly erupting into her hand, just the soft touch of her fingers against me. But then again, I had only really done one test.
What if I was wrong? What if it was a false positive?
What if?
Okay then. She suddenly replied.
Oh shit. She was actually going to do it. In a drunken haze, I had dared her to do something. She was going to do it. And it would turn me on so much that my tits would practically knock her off the sofa as they rapidly expanded. How could I have been so stupid? She was moving her hand towards me now. God, I wanted this so much. But it'd all be over if she found out what I could do. I could feel the familiar sensation in my chest. The pills weren't working. It was like my tits wanted to meet her hand halfway. Suddenly there was the sound of a glass hitting the floor, as the remainder of the red wine within spilled out over the carpet. Susan had accidentally knocked the glass over on her way to fondle my tits. No, to check if they were real, and I had never felt so relieved and so disappointed in equal measure.
Oh God, Sion, I'm so sorry! Susan said, clearly really flustered. Well, I am absolutely appalled that you would waste good wine like that.
We stared at each other for a moment. A smile broke on each of our faces, and we both broke down in fits of laughter. We had laughed, and drank long into the night. I simultaneously spent the evening trying to keep control of my body and spontaneously flirting with Susan, a hard balancing act that almost sent me tipping over the edge on multiple occasions. It had been longer than I could remember that I had enjoyed myself so much, had enjoyed being with someone so much. Susan had been in no fit state to remain on the sofa, so I had insisted she sleep in my bed with me. She had giggled and declined in case.
People might think we were lovers.
If only, I had thought. I had convinced her it would be easier for me to keep an eye on her that way, and she had finally agreed, with more drunken giggles. The night had grown warmer, too warm in fact, forcing us to strip down completely naked, although Susan had insisted I look away while she removed her bra and underwear and slipped under the cover, and averted her eyes whilst I did the same. Another stark reminder that she had been made to feel ashamed of her naked body. On a selfish note, it was probably just as well. With the failure the pills had been, there was no way I could have kept control at the sight of Susan's bare body. Indeed, as she laid asleep facing away from me, I had to fight the temptation to lift the sheets and take in the curve of her bare back leading down to her round hips and ass. This brought my mind to exactly what had happened this evening though. Why did the pills work when I was flirting with Dan at the lab, but hadn't worked at all with Susan? My comments with her had been far less suggestive, but I almost lost control entirely at the idea of her touching me. The physiological response should have been exactly the same in each situation, arousal prompting growth as my body reacted to the external stimuli. What was different? Science had failed me in this respect. I was so confused. Susan let out a small sigh, prompting me to look over to her and observe the soft rise and fall of the covers, and she slowly breathed in and out. She looked like she belonged there, and my heart filled with joy at the idea.
That was it. That was the difference.
I had lost control around Susan, because subconsciously I wanted to. The first time Dan had spoken to me, I had wanted to be seen, and my body reacted in a way that would make me more noticeable. The second time, I had no interest in actually being seen by Dan, I just wanted to prove my theory correct, so I had stayed as I was. I had grown into a more formidable form when I confronted Carl because I wanted to put him in his place. It should have been clear from the beginning. I had already established that my body reacted to my conscious desires. Why shouldn't it react to my unconscious desires too? I had guessed I might be falling for Susan, but clearly my feelings were far deeper and far more powerful than I had dared to believe. I was in love with Susan. It felt liberating to finally realize it, if a little scary that it had developed so quickly. But had it though? I had always been so absorbed in my work for so long, never giving any thought to how I felt or actively trying to maintain relationships, yet I had still been close friends with Susan. Had I been subconsciously maintaining my relationship with her because I had feelings for her? A million questions were flying through my mind, but one constant was now at the forefront. I loved Susan, and I would do anything to make her happy. As if reacting to my internal declaration of love, Susan stirred next to me. Still clearly asleep, or at least not consciously aware of her motions, she turned to face me and placed an arm across my chest, brushing my bare breasts as she did so. The sensation was too much for me to handle, and the suppressed emotion broke free of the invisible walls I had built around it. Immediately my tits started to swell, as I gasped at the sensation of Susan's hand on them. I had moved from AC to AD in next to no time, the flesh starting pull around her fingers. This was dangerous, she could wake any minute. I was too lost in the ecstasy of her touch on my still slowly expanding boobs to even consider that. As I grew and grew, and Susan's arm got lost further and further in my swollen tits, I noticed the covers starting to lift away, pushed down the bed by my engorging mass. As the covers inched further and further down, more of Susan's incredible figure was slowly being revealed. Her boobs were resting against her left arm and spilling out onto the bed. They looked taut and full, like a single touch would cause them to burst, probably spraying milk everywhere. Thoughts of sucking the milk out of Susan's tits, something else I didn't know turned me on, prompted a wave of heat and electricity through my body that was shooting straight to my pussy and causing the swelling of my boobs to double in speed as I lost myself in pleasure. I could already feel that I was incredibly wet, my body and my subconscious wanted this so much. My tits were now so huge that Susan's arm was being forced away by their sheer size, like a pair of beach balls stretched tight and ready to pop. As her arm finally fell, I quickly left the bed and headed to the bathroom before I became more boob than woman, or more importantly, before I woke up Susan. I had been so focused on my boobs that I hadn't noticed until standing that my ass and hips had also been going to town, and they wobbled along with my still expanding tits as I made my way to the bathroom to try and calm down. I locked the door behind me just in case. I took a few deep breaths, inadvertently causing my tits to jiggle more as I did so, as I tried to regain control. I stopped the growth, but it took a lot of effort, and it would probably take a minute or two before I could reverse the changes. I opened my eyes and was met with my reflection in the mirror. My huge, bloated tits swung heavily in front of me as breathed, the familiar sensation of wetness in my pussy as I took myself in. After a few moments of admiring myself, I closed my eyes and began to focus on returning to normal so I could go back to bed and get some sleep. Maybe not back to bed, that's where a very naked Susan was, and her amazing, full tits. God, what I wouldn't give to suck her milk out of them until I filled up so much that I looked pregnant. I felt my body change back to a more manageable size. I would slip out past the bed, making sure to avoid looking at Susan, and go and sleep on the sofa. As I opened my eyes, however, Susan was stood before me. I panicked. How did she get in here? How much had she seen? The door was meant to be locked. Wait, it still was. Then how? I looked back in the mirror, and Susan was looking back at me. Her long black hair, her pale skin, her green eyes, her incredible tits, her wide hips and her juicy ass. I had thought so strongly about her as I was trying to shrink, that my body had taken over and turned me into what could have been a perfect clone of her. This was the first time I had been completely surprised my abilities since I had discovered them. I hadn't even thought about the possibility of changing my being completely, let alone transforming entirely into someone else. This was amazing. The scientific part of my brain was awash with questions and possibilities. But my desires were in full control now, pushing that part of my brain out of the way. I lifted my hands, Susan's hands I suppose, to my breasts and gave them a squeeze. The sensation flooded through my body, eliciting a moan that sounded not like myself, but like Susan. I quickly realized that for all intents and purposes, as I looked in the mirror, it was Susan standing there. Anything I did now, it would be Susan doing it in my reflection. I was completely lost in lust at the realization. I want you to suck my titsy on, said Susan's voice, coming from Susan's body. I filled in the gaps in my mind. I want to suck your tits so bad, Susan, I want to drink all of your milk until my stomach is huge and full. Drink it all, commanded Susan, fingering her damp pussy and squeezing her tits, streams of milk starting to pour out of her hard nipples and drip onto the floor. Susan suddenly lifted one of her tits to her mouth and began to suck down the milky treats spilling from it. I taste so good, Sian, she moaned between sucks. The flow of her milk was starting to rapidly increase as she almost struggled to keep swallowing it all, but she wasn't letting any of it go to waste. Susan's stomach started to slowly fill and bloat, her massive amounts of milk swelling her up as she greedily gulped it down. She kept sucking and sucking, growing and growing, until finally her stomach was so bloated and full, she collapsed on the floor. As the world faded to black, Susan smiled and simply said, I love you, Sian. Sian, Sian! Wake up! I opened my eyes to see Susan leaning over me. I assumed I was still dreaming and smiled back. Hey, hun! I said through a blissful haze. Are you okay? What the heck happened in here? This wasn't a dream. I must have collapsed out of exhaustion and pleasure. I was still laid on the bathroom floor, but I was now covered with a towel. Susan had covered me up out of respect. I secretly hoped she'd taken a good look first. But wait! Was I even me? When I had passed out, I was still Susan, and if she'd seen me like that, God knows what must be going through her mind. I quickly ran a hand over my body and realized with a sigh of relief that I was definitely me. No huge, milky tits, no long black hair, no wide hips and no juicy ass, just the figure I had chosen for myself. Thank God. It seems my body had taken back over once I had passed out, returning to my body's default settings for want of a better term. I'm fine, Susan, don't worry, I began. But why are you in here? Why were you on the floor? And where the heck has all this milk come from? Oh shit. My body had been able to return me to normal, but the excessive amounts of milk it produced from Susan's tits, no my, they were still my tits, they just looked like Susan's, had nowhere to go. For all my precautions and how careful I had tried to be, I had no logical explanation for this other than the truth. Whether I liked it or not, it was time for Susan to know my secret. Chapter 04 Take a seat, Susan. She perched herself on the side of the bed, a combination of concern and confusion on her face. I had guessed the day would come when I wouldn't be able to keep my secret anymore, but I never would have predicted it would come so soon nor the manner in which it was happening. In a way, I was glad it was Susan who would be the first to know. Tiptoeing around her and trying to ignore and suppress my feelings was so draining, and it had led to the overload and emotion that created the mess I was currently in. But that didn't mean I wasn't desperately trying to figure out how exactly to explain what had happened to me. I sat myself next to her and took a deep breath. "Susan, have you ever wished there was anything you could change about your body?" It had been a mistake to lead with that question knowing the insecurities that had been drilled into her, and she was visibly uncomfortable at my question. "Damn it, Sian, try harder."
"Well, a nip here, a tuck there maybe,"
came her muted response. I wanted to hold her, to tell her she was perfect, but I needed to save this line of inquiry first.
"Well, what if, theoretically, you could? That you had the ability to change anything you wanted?
I'm confused, Sian. Where I work, we have been developing a serum that was designed to allow people to naturally regrow organs, damaged tissue, or even limbs." This was still classified information that I could be fired and even taken to court for by sharing it with anyone else. But my relationship with Susan was at stake and I didn't care. "A few weeks ago I was working late, as I often do, and I ended up dropping some vials of the current batch of the serum. They smashed, became airborne, and I breathed them in."
"So that's why you disappeared for a week? You were being kept in isolation?"
I was pleasantly surprised by such an astute observation. I was underestimating Susan even now, it seemed.
"Yes, I was a potential biohazard risk and the company kept me in quarantine for just under a week. All of their tests revealed nothing out of the ordinary, so I was sent home. Once I was home, I started to stress out about what had happened. I had been told to meet the director on the following Monday and, well..."
I paused for a second. "You weren't wrong when you said that I had never had this figure before. I was flat as a pancake in my chest, hips, but everything really. When I looked at myself in the mirror, I wished that my boobs were just a little bigger, something ridiculous about how if I wasn't so flat I could get whatever I wanted was going through my mind. And then, there they were, bigger boobs." Susan looked even more confused than before.
"So what you're saying is, you wish for bigger boobs and now you have them?"
"Yes, well no, well sort of, I mean it doesn't work like that." I had always assumed it would be so easy to explain all of this, that I would have all of the answers. But then again I also assumed that everything my body was doing was an automatic physiological response, and I had been wrong about that too.
"Let me explain. My body reacts to my wants and my desires. For example, if I wanted to, say, grow a cup size, I would only need to think about wanting it and my body would do it."
"I'm sorry, Sian, this is a lot to take in and I'm not certain I completely follow. So you can just think about wanting a body part to change and it will?
Maybe it would be best if I show you."
I was still nude apart from the towel Susan had wrapped around me and I unfurled the front to reveal my breasts. Susan instinctively looked away.
"Please, Susan, I want you to see,"
I desperately asked. Whether it was her curiosity or her obedient nature, Susan turned to look at my breasts. I would have been incredibly turned on, but now wasn't the time. I needed to make a controlled and minor change that would likely need further explanation, so I didn't have time to deal with a massive expansion right now. I grew my breasts from the large B I had chosen as my standard figure now, to DD's resembling Susan's, just like I had done that first night I discovered my abilities. I watched as Susan's eyes widened in shock as they slowly filled out, feeling them getting heavier as they did. I finally stopped once I reached my target size.
"Ta-da!"
I said, a mix of awkwardness and nerves easily noticeable through my ill-fated attempt at humor. Susan was silent, her jaw agape. There was a seemingly never-ending pause.
"Please say something,"
I pleaded with her. Finally, Susan seemed to regain her composure, as if she had been entranced by my growing tits and my words had snapped her out of it.
"So you have complete control over your body then?" she asked.
"Almost," I replied, relieved that the conversation was moving forward. "There are some reactions that I can't help."
"What are those?"
"Well, if I become incredibly turned on, for instance, my body kind of takes over and makes my boobs and my butt grow.
That was what happened last night."
"Why were you turned on?" I had talked myself into a corner. Now not only did I have to tell Susan about my abilities but that I was attracted to her too. What was I going to do?
"Susan, you and I have been friends for a long time now. I've never been good with any kind of relationships, particularly not with friends and such. Since I've gained these abilities, it's taught me so much about myself, how I see myself, what I truly feel."
I took a deep breath. Before I could continue, Susan cut me off.
"Are you saying it was me, Sian? You grew spontaneously because you were turned on by me?"
"Pretty much, yeah." There was another awkward pause.
"I'm sorry, Susan, I know this is a lot to digest. It's just you were laid naked next to me and I'd been thinking about you and your amazing body all evening. And then you rolled over and I saw your incredible boobs and you brushed your arm against me and I just lost control. You were so turned on by me that just my touch did that."
"Well, it was on my boobs specifically, but yes."
"So like this?"
Without warning, Susan's hands were on my boobs.
"Exactly like, oh God."
I gasped as I felt the tingling sensation in my chest, except it wasn't a tingle anymore. It was more like a full-blown electric shock. My tits started to rapidly engorge, like my body had turned itself up to 100 at Susan's touch. In seconds, my boobs had almost completely enveloped her hands and were starting to physically push her back. I had never grown this quickly before, the sheer mass in front of me getting heavier and heavier, feeling fuller and fuller. In fact, feeling as heavy and as full as last night when I... Before I could finish my thought, milk shot out of my erect nipples and I let out an orgasmic moan. I sat panting, my eyes rolled back into my head as wave after wave of intense pleasure flowed from tits and through the rest of my body, as I could feel more and more jets of milk streaming out of my swollen, mountainous boobs. Finally, the feeling started to subside, and my vision cleared. Susan was almost gasping for air, and I could see why. She was drenched head to toe in my milk, as was most of the side of the bed she was sat on, it running down her forehead and over her lips. The blouse she was wearing had become semi-transparent, and had I not both been spent from the exertion of such a fast expansion, and slightly concerned for her, it would have been enough to set me off again. To my surprise, it was Susan who broke the silence. "So that's where all the milk came from then." Susan was in the shower, getting the last of my milk out of her hair. I was terrified. It had been one thing to show Susan what I could do, but another thing entirely to just lose control like that and give in to my desire for her. What must she think of me? That I'm some lust-driven nymphomaniac? That I'm a freak? For the first time since I had discovered my abilities, I felt my confidence plummet. I truly loved Susan, but why was I even assuming she felt the same? She had always been naturally friendly with me. It was her nature, not an act put on to try and please others. Perhaps the biggest tragedy for me was that it was my abilities that had led me to realize my feelings for her, and now it was my abilities that would push her away. For what felt like the first time, I started to cry. I hated myself. I hated what I was now. I transformed myself back to the girl I had been, flat, unremarkable and alone, sat naked and ashamed on my bed. "Sion?" I looked up through puffy red eyes as my vision slowly focused. Susan was stood before me in a towel. I quickly tried to wipe my tears away. "Sorry," I said. "I'm so sorry, Susan." "It's okay, Sion, it's okay," she said, taking a seat next to me. She was looking me over like she was trying to decide what to say. I squirmed a little in embarrassment. "Where have all your curves gone?" she suddenly asked. "They weren't me, so I got rid of them." "Are you sure they weren't you, hun?" I looked up at her through blurry eyes. She'd called me hun. "What do you mean? In the past 2 weeks I have seen you bloom into a happy, confident, and beautiful woman, and you didn't do it with massive, over-the-top changes. You made small changes that made you more comfortable in your own skin. Doesn't that mean that that's the real you?" I tried to process what she was saying. I knew that she was right. There was enough logic there for my brain to accept, but also enough care and consideration that my heart was filling up. I didn't know what this was, whether she was merely extending an olive branch or something more, but either way I was incredibly grateful. "I suppose you're right," I said, but with not much more than a whisper. "I'd like to see the real you now, please." I looked back her way and have a small nod. I focused on returning to my previous figure, and within seconds I had gently filled out into what I suppose I would call my real shape now. "Much better, hello again, Sion," she said with a smile. I couldn't help but smile back. As she went to stand, I stopped her. "Susan, you've been such a dear friend to me. I understand if all of this makes you uncomfortable. If you still want to stay here, absolutely you can, as long as it doesn't make you uncomfortable. I'll sleep on the sofa until I can order another bed." "That's not necessary, Sion," Susan began. "No, I have to, Susan. I care too deeply for you to be able to control my emotions and my body when I'm around you. I mean, you saw what happened when you touched me just then. You make my senses light up like a thousand stars all shining in the same place at the same time, and I can't control the euphoria it causes me."
"Then don't," she replied. She took my hand, but I quickly snatched it away.
"Susan, I can't." "But you want to," she said, retaking my hand. Her fingers were warm and soft, and felt like they belonged entwined with my hand. "If your growth is linked to your wants and desires, you will never be able to control yourself unless you embrace them. I can't embrace my feelings about you unless you feel the same way, Susan. It wouldn't be fair on either of us."
"You're assuming I don't, hun."
"Yes, but, excuse me, what?
You're a scientist, Sion, think critically."
I thought back over the last 2 weeks. What was it she wanted me to notice? What hadn't I seen? She'd come to ask me about bikinis despite me having next to no bust to speak of, or at least so far as she knew at the time. She specifically turned the conversation to talking about her breasts, and not knowing what would suit them, leading to me asking to see them. She had acquiesced to this request surprisingly quickly. When she had returned from her holiday, she hadn't wanted to talk about the bikini. Perhaps she thought I would be upset? She had pressed herself hard into me as she wept over Carl, almost like an embrace. She had let herself be talked into living with me. She had said yes incredibly quickly when I invited her to touch my boobs. She had joked that people might think we were lovers, before agreeing to sleep naked next to me. Most important of all though, and the detail that had escaped me despite being the most obvious one of all, she was still here.
"So you?"
I started to ask, at a loss for words. "Things have been bad between me and Carl for a while, Sion, but I'm guessing that's no surprise to you. You were the only other significant relationship in my life, and once you had come back from the isolation unit, you just seemed, I don't know, different. I know you were actually different, ironically, but from what I could see, my friend who I had valued and come to care for so long was quickly becoming a strong, confident and beautiful woman, who knew herself and lived for it. I guess I'd been testing the waters a little, enjoying living in the fantasy that one day there might not be a Carl to worry about. I never thought it would actually come true."
I was dumbfounded. All this time I thought I had been pulling strings, manufacturing situations to be closer to Susan, but she'd been a step ahead of me all the way, leaving signs anyone else might have seen from a mile away.
"Admittedly," she continued, "I didn't think that things would end with Carl the way they would. It was still quite a shock. I have a confession, Susan."
"Oh?"
"I'm the reason Carl left." I told her the whole story, how I had convinced her to take a bath to get her out of the way, how I had marched over to her house to confront Carl, and what happened to me when I did.
"Did you hurt him at all?"
she asked. "Mostly his pride, and maybe his grip on reality a little."
"Okay," she said. "While we're on the subject of confessions though, Sian, I knew that something had happened between you and Carl. Not the whole giantess thing I think you called it, but I saw you coming back from my house with a certain look in your eyes. I at least knew you must have said something to him, but I had no idea the profound effect it would have. But you did what you thought was right, and I understand that you did it for me."
Telling Susan about Carl had been something I had been dreading. I knew that she loved him, or had at least loved him at some point, and I was afraid she may have thought I had deliberately scared him away to have her to myself. It calmed my soul to know that she was at least at peace with what I had done.
"So, what happens now?"
I asked, both excited and scared at the prospect of what the answer could be.
"For now, I think we get used to focusing on being us," she replied.
A month had passed since Susan had found out about my abilities and we were making progress on controlling my spontaneous growths. We had moved from holding hands, to lying close to one another to kissing, and bit by bit I was slowly gaining more and more control over my body's reaction. The first time we had kissed, I had grown 4 cup sizes in seconds, pushing Susan a little way back and prompting her to observe that there was something between us with a giggle. Now at night and with less concentration required than before, we could lay in bed in each other's arms, kissing, embracing, loving one another. I had never been so happy. Things had also been progressing well at work. We were approximately a week away from being able to fully resynthesize the serum in the form it had been in when I inadvertently took it, and I was looking forward to being able to test and further understand it, and myself. For now though, I was basking in the glow of the woman I loved, and work could not have been further from my mind.
"Sian?"
"Yes, hun?
I want to ask you something a little personal if that's okay?"
"Of course, fire away."
"Have you ever had sex before?"
The truth was I hadn't. I was familiar with my own body and what I liked, and that had always been enough for me. Even if there had been interest from anyone to sleep with me, I don't think I'd have cared enough to want it. Until now in any case.
"No, I haven't."
"I take it you have though?"
"Yeah, I mean I was married. Not that that really means much. Carl was always a sprint to the finish kind of guy. Fun for the brief moment it lasted, but not so great otherwise. Over time we made love less and less. I would try and put on a show for him, but he wouldn't be interested, or he'd just tell me to get dressed again."
I had been waiting for her to start opening up about her relationship with Carl a bit more. She was a little more relaxed now, but she still struggled with us being nude in front of each other. She was often all for the idea. In fact, her flirting and dirty talk was even stronger and more frequent than my own, and I knew she liked the look of me naked, but it was like she was fighting some sort of inner war between her desire to take me in and her compulsion to look away. Equally so, her instinct seemed to be to cover herself up as much as possible. I had walked in on her in the bath, and she had scrambled to cover her perfect breasts with her arms.
"Is that why you get nervous and cover yourself so much? It probably has something to do with it,"
she sighed.
"I guess when you get told to put your body away for so long it rubs off on you somewhat. Listen to me, Susan. Your body is incredible. Any fool stupid enough to ask you to cover yourself up doesn't deserve to see you anyway. And I will keep telling you this every minute of every hour of every day until you see yourself as the perfect woman you are."
She looked up at me with a smile and then nestled back onto my boob. I had swelled myself up to be a comfier cushion, and it seemed to be having the desired effect.
"One thing that I have been wondering though," I continued. "With how you feel about us being naked together, why did you decide to grab my boobs like that when I was telling you about how my growth works? You aren't the only one who sometimes can't control herself when she's turned on you, know."
I laughed.
"Point taken, although I'm just shocked that you didn't freak out when the milk started spraying out of me. I must admit I was a little surprised myself,"
Susan said before giggling slightly.
"What is it?"
I inquired.
"I don't think you ever stopped to ask yourself whether I'd been in the shower longer than you expected, did you?"
I hadn't as it happened. Why would she be in the shower longer? A grin spread across my face as the penny dropped.
"Oh really?
She purred back, slightly biting her lower lip and drawing closer to me.
"Didn't he soaking you with my milk turn you on?"
"Closer." She said nodding. "Closer."
"And did you come in my shower?"
"Closer." Our lips finally locked as we kissed passionately. All I could think of was letting go. My body was screaming for it, but I fought to gain control. I think I knew that this was it. We were going to make love tonight. I had thought about it long and hard. I wanted Susan to experience every sensation she had ever missed out on, a lofty goal that I realized may be beyond me and my own capabilities now, but I would do my damnedest. We kissed for what felt like an eternity, either of us wanting to break our embrace. Finally, it was Susan who broke away first. She threw her legs over to her side of the bed and stood before, allowing me to see all of her. She was wearing a purple satin nightdress, the dark color contrasting her pale, smooth skin.
"I want you to see me, Sian," she said.
This was huge for her. Her passion and desire was overcoming her compulsion to cover up, and I laid and watched as she put on a show. She began to slowly swing her hips from side to side, her body moving to a silent rhythm. As she moved her hips, the fabric of the nightdress seemed to be caressing her curves, occasionally riding up and exposing the higher part of her thigh before falling again like some form of unintentional burlesque performance. She ran her fingers upwards through her hair as her whole body began to join her hips in one fluid movement, before running her hands back down her body over her braless breasts,
no doubt brushing her nipples as she did, following the curve of her waist as it joined her hips. With a larger swing of her hips, she turned to face away from me, the nightdress acting as a stage curtain for the thick ass cheeks hidden beneath it. Still swaying from side to side, she began to squat lower and lower to the floor, her ass expanding to its full size and peeking out from beneath the nightdress, revealing she wasn't wearing any underwear. She straightened her legs as she brought her body slowly upwards, leaving her ass high in the air for me to enjoy, the loose material of the silk hem running up her back and exposing more of her incredible buns. Once she was upright, another swing of her hips turned her back to facing me. I could see in her eyes she was lost in her performance, just as I was lost in her amazing body. She lifted her right hand to her left shoulder and with a single outstretched finger, lowered the strap of the nightdress, so it hung in the air just to the left of her elbow, before moving her left hand to her right shoulder and doing the same. With a single swift movement, the nightdress fell to the floor and I was finally able to witness her in all her glory. Her tits were impossibly perky and exactly as I had both remembered and dreamed they were, taut, full and heavy. She had shaved her pussy ready for this to happen, for this night to finally reveal herself to me. I stopped to catch my breath as I beheld this goddess before me. "Do you like what you see, Sion?" It was taking every ounce of focus I had not to give in to the want to grow. "You are incredible," I said through heavy breaths. "I know you want to release and give in, Sion." She purred, walking towards me. She pulled back the covers, revealing my own naked body. I was trembling in both anticipation and at the strain of holding on. She mounted me, her perfect tits hanging impossibly in the air just above my own as leant down to whisper in my ear. "Let go." I needed no further encouragement. I let every pent-up emotion, every desire, every want escape from my grasp as my body lit on fire. Aware that I would soon be too big to do so, I sat myself up and immediately clamped my lips down on one of Susan's milky breasts, eliciting a gasp and a giggle from her as I did. I could already feel my tits pushing against Susan's stomach, quickly filling the space between us as my ass started to swell out beneath me. Working feverishly, I rolled my tongue around the nipple, sucking hard and begging her to fill me with her milk in my mind, my memory talking me back to the night in the bathroom. "I taste so good, Sion."
"Yes,"
she moaned.
"Suck me dry, Sion."
I wanted nothing more than to do that, but my full and heavy tits were causing too much of a gap between us. I reached up while I still could and moved her onto her back so I could mount her. My ass was slowly creeping backwards down her upper thigh and my tits were already surpassing beach ball size and steadily gaining. Following my lead, Susan grabbed one of my oversized tits and started to suck and pull the nipple with her mouth. I let out a moan of pleasure.
"Oh God, Susan, if you keep doing that, I'll start filling you up with milk. I want as much as you can give me,"
came her response. Driven by her command, my tits immediately started to leak, the flows starting slowly at first but starting to build up pace. Susan greedily squeezed my huge milk factory and massaged the sides, drawing more and more milk out into her waiting throat. I felt like every orgasm I ever had was happening at once, as I watched large throatfuls of my milk slide down her throat with an audible gulp. Beneath me, I could feel her stomach starting to swell and rise to meet mine. My physiology could take it, but if she took much more, she would likely burst. I pulled away from her, as she gave a frustrated moan.
"More, I want more! You've had all you take, hun,"
I said, rubbing her swollen belly.
"I promise you can have more next time. But for now, it's my turn to eat."
I moved my cumbersome body further down the bed, my ass easily hanging over the bottom edge of the bed, and laid small kisses down the inside of Susan's thigh until I was finally at her waiting pussy. I gazed up and could just make out her expression over her milk-stuffed pot belly. She was ready for this, and so was I. I ran my tongue from the bottom to the top of her dripping pussy, tasting all of her juices. She let out a heavy moan as her body gave a slight shudder. I located her clit with my tongue and began working it all over, back and forth.
"Oh fuck,"
she cried. It was the first time I'd heard her swear. She was so lost in the pleasure that she didn't even have any control over it. I kept working and working her clit as went to grab at my head to hold me in place.
"Oh fuck, Sion, I'm coming, I'm coming."
With a scream, she released a full spray of cum into my mouth, catching me off guard and causing me to recoil and receive a second squirt to my face. I opened my mouth back up ready to receive the rest as she squirmed and shuddered, swallowing mouthful after mouthful until finally it was over. I gazed back up at her as she lay panting.
"I'm sorry about that,"
she said between gasps, noticing that the pussy juice she shot into my face was now dripping through my hair.
"Don't be,"
I said. I gave her a wicked look.
"Ready for more? Fuck yes."
Chapter 05.
"Can I ask you a question, hun?"
We were laid basking in each other, after the most incredible and intense sexual experience I had ever had in my life. The sheets were still slightly damp with a combination of milk and the jets of cum I had coaxed out of Susan with my tongue, but neither of us cared. I had shrunk back to my normal size but had left my boobs a bit bigger, so they were comfier for Susan to rest her head on.
"Sure,"
I replied. She paused briefly. Clearly this was something that had been on her mind for a while.
"What does it feel like? You know, when you grow?"
That was a really good question.
"So far, I've found it depends on the emotion driving it. If it's anger, like it was with Carl for instance, it feels like a huge burning knot in my chest has burst and is spreading all over my body. But if it's lust or arousal, it feels like every single nerve ending in my body is being gently shocked with electricity, doubly so on wherever I'm growing."
"So if I'm playing with your tits whilst they grow, they're extra sensitive then?"
Oh yeah, like sensitive enough that it almost feels like I'm coming.
Good to know, she replied with a sly grin.
I returned the smile.
Anything else you want to know?
Well, you've only had these abilities for a short time, so you may not have yet, but have you done anything beyond just growing taller or makes your boobs or ass grow?
I had forgotten that I hadn't already told Susan about exactly what happened in the bathroom that night. I had told her I needed to go in there because I was so turned on by her, and then the milk shower I gave her after that must have meant that she thought I had just done that as myself. I was terrified of what her reaction might be. Things were going so amazingly well between us, she was so understanding and considerate, and amazingly also seemed turned on my abilities. But was this a step too far? Too much of an invasion of privacy when we hadn't even been together then? No, I had to risk it. I had to tell her. I couldn't let this hang over my head like a Susan-shaped sword of Damocles. I have gone further once, yes, but it was a spontaneous reaction rather than a conscious one.
Really?
Susan said as looked up at me. She propped herself up a little on my boobs so she could pay full attention.
Go on.
Well, remember I mentioned about how I'd had to go to the bathroom because you turned me on so much?
Yes, the night when you passed out turning the bathroom into a milk trough,
she said with a grin. She was enjoying this. Well, I was trying to calm down and bring myself back to a normal size. As you know, it can sometimes be really difficult for me to do that if I'm turned on that much, so I had closed my eyes and tried to focus, but then all I could see in my mind was you and your amazing tits, and I kept thinking about how much I wanted to suck all the milk out of them, and then...
And then what?
Susan was visibly excited. I think she might have been getting off on this a little. And then when I opened my eyes, I could see you in the mirror.
What do you mean you could see me in the mirror?
Are you saying that you...
Yeah, I did.
Well, I didn't personally, my body did, but yeah.
You turned yourself into me?
Please don't be mad. Susan was quiet for a moment. I could see wheels turning behind her eyes. Please tell me this had been the right thing to do.
Could you do it again?
She finally asked.
I don't know, to be honest, I haven't tried it again since then.
Try it for me. I nodded and stood. Trying to figure out how it would work, I closed my eyes and focused on Susan and her body. I focused on wanting to be Susan, wanting to please her and answer her request. I felt the electric sensation run through my body as I started to change. Knowing what was happening this time, I observed the feeling of her longer hair falling down my back, my boobs feeling bigger and fuller, my hips widening and my ass plumping up. I opened my eyes to see Susan still laid on the bed, looking amazed.
So?
I asked, forgetting it would be Susan's voice that came out. Susan looked a little shocked at realizing the change extended to her voice too, but she didn't look disgusted. She didn't look angry. She didn't look appalled. If anything, she looked like she was checking me out, checking herself out, I guess.
Wow, that's quite something, she finally said. So, was the milk thing before or after this happened?
After, Susan's voice replied. When I saw myself in the mirror as you, I just totally lost it. My body reacted to my want to suck milk out of your tits and made me start heavily lactating. I grabbed one of these boobs and started sucking down as much as I could whilst I stared into the mirror and rubbed my pussy. In the end, I drank so much that my belly dragged me to the ground, and that's when I passed out.
And this was just as me, you didn't give me bigger boobs or anything?
No, you were already perfect. Susan smiled. Could it be possible she was okay with this? I mean, it was weird, right? If that's how good I actually look, I can't blame you for reacting the way you did, she said through a beaming grin. I beamed back at her, ironically mirroring her expression, and all at once feeling another huge weight off of my shoulders.
Maybe I could help improve the memory of that night for you, she purred.
What do you mean?
Well, you were only able to feel what it was like for one boob to be sucked dry. Maybe we should do both?
If I was right about what Susan was suggesting, she wanted me to suck the milk out of one of her, my, this is so confusing, tits whilst she sucked the milk out of the other. Either this meant she was finally okay with how she looked and was embracing it, or she wanted me to feel better about the situation. But what was 100% clear was that she was okay with what I had done. Not only that, she was eager to taste and fill herself up, and I couldn't have made myself say no even if I had wanted to. She sat herself on the edge of the bed, ready and eager to get started. My body made my boobs start lactating as I walked towards her until she was eye level with a vision of her own milky tits.
You first, hun,
she said, looking up at her own face, staring back at her but seeing only me. I raised a single, heavy breast to my mouth and began to drink. She latched onto the other breast and began to suck and pull, getting every last drop.
I taste so good, Sian,
she moaned between sucks. I never thought I would be living a life where all my dreams would come true in such quick succession. Susan was mine, and I was hers, completely and inescapably. I had never felt love so dearly, so strongly, so intensely before, and every day felt like I was walking on air. Susan would keep the house for me while I worked, completing all the tasks that would have traditionally been done by a wife, I suppose. But I hated to think her as some sort of patriarchally conforming good little housewife, so we never described it as such. She was free to do whatever she wanted, there was no expectation that she do anything at all. I would have quite happily left to her to lounge around all day relaxing, but she made herself busy and it made her happy, so I wasn't about to judge. I was pulled away from my daydreaming by an approaching lab assistant. Her name was Ellen, she was a young girl, a little pudgy with a pretty face and large glasses, like an alternate universe version of myself before the incident.
Here's the latest results on the serum resynthesis, Dr. Bowley, it looks like we're almost there.
Thank you, Ellen. Did Dan not want to bring me these?
He's usually the person who reports back to me.
Oh, I think he said something about needing to use the bathroom and asked me to do it instead.
The poor guy clearly hadn't recovered from my testing yet, which was all the more impressive given it was over a month ago.
Okay, thanks again, Ellen. You leave this with me.
Ellen politely nodded and smiled before heading back to the lab's work area.
I checked over the results.
Judging by what I was seeing, we had less than a day left before the serum would be ready again. My thoughts went back to Susan. I had a proposal for her tonight that I hoped would take our relationship even further. We were laid in bed later that evening. Susan was casually fondling my tits as I laid back and tried to work out how to broach the subject I wanted to talk to her about.
Susan, hun, could you stop that for a second? But I want my bedtime milk.
She whined, dropping her lip like a petulant child, but with a look of impish mischief in her eyes.
You can have all you can drink and more later, hun, I promise.
She turned her sulk into a smile.
I have a question for you, Susan.
For me?
Yes, but it's quite a serious one, so do bear with me.
Okay, you have my full attention.
Ask away.
I adjusted my position so I was sat up and could look her directly in the eye.
This morning you asked me what all of this felt like, when I grow and such.
Was it just curiosity?
I suppose so, yeah. I mean, it's something so outside of any experience I could probably relate it to. I felt like I had to ask.
Okay. I pondered for a moment.
But what if you didn't have to ask?
She looked puzzled.
What do you mean?
What if you could feel it too? I could see she was starting to put the pieces together.
Sian, are you saying that?
Yeah, I am. Tomorrow we will have successfully resynthesized the original serum that gave me my abilities. I've thought about this for most of the day, Susan. What I want to know is, do you want to be like me, to be able to do what I can do?
Susan was silent for a moment.
She was clearly struggling to come up with an answer.
Please let me just say first.
I continued. That this in no way means I definitely want you to take it. I wasn't given the choice, and to be honest, I'm not sure it's a choice I would have made if I was still the woman I was back then. The woman I am now would jump at the chance, but that is just with the benefit of hindsight.
If it is what you want, then I will make sure it happens.
If it isn't, then we continue on as we are, happy and content.
It's a lot to consider, Sian, like it's a life-altering change to make, literally.
I know it is, hun, I know. But I wanted you to know that if you want to feel like I feel, and do what I do, you can have it.
We paused again.
Take some time to think about it. It won't be ready until after tomorrow anyway.
Won't you get in trouble for taking it away?
I have thought of that. I have had my team working on creating twice the amount as last time to send a sample to the higher-ups. There will be enough to continue our research and to do this, if that is what you want to do.
Susan paused again.
I'll think about it.
She finally declared.
Okay, hun. I said with a smile. Do you know what helps me think though, Sian? She said with a wicked grin.
I can guess.
I laughed, as I started to grow my boobs and fill them up, ready for her to tuck in. It was the following morning and I was getting ready to leave. I had woken quite early, my suggestion to Susan firing through all of my synapses at once. I thought about all the possibilities available to us if she went through with it, all of the sensations we could feel together, all the passion and emotion that would erupt from us. But then I had to calm myself.
Susan had the right to choose for herself, and I had to respect that decision no matter what.
Susan was sat on the sofa, finishing her morning cup of coffee.
I'll see you later, hun.
I called, making my way towards the door.
Sian?
Yes, hun? I said, stopping in my tracks.
I want to feel like you feel and do what you do.
I walked back over to her, a huge smile on my face, and kissed her.
Whatever you want, hun.
I was ecstatic. Knowing how intensely I felt the pleasure of our every interaction thanks to my abilities, I couldn't wait for Susan to be able to experience it too. I had made sure she knew I would respect her decision, but I could not deny that I heavily favored the answer she gave me. I don't think I was even that concerned with whether she got bigger or not. It was the pleasure, the orgasmic feeling that came with it that I wanted her to experience. I was returning home with the samples of the serum in a sealed lockbox. I had been working on a way to make the inhalation of the fumes as easy as possible and had settled on a single-use inhaler that I had 3D printed in the lab. Susan would take a single puff from the inhaler, and that should be all that was needed. I walked through the front door to the aroma of a freshly cooked meal. I could see a bottle of champagne resting next to two glasses, with plates and cutlery laid out on the table, and a candle finishing the look off.
Hey, hun,
said Susan walking through from the kitchen. She was wearing a tight, button-up shirt that accentuated her ample boobs wonderfully and a pair of tight skinny jeans that did the same for her bottom half.
This looks amazing, hun,
I said as we embraced and kissed. I figured tonight was a big night, and I wanted to do something special to mark it. She really was a complete diamond, outshining any and all others. We sat and enjoyed the meal Susan had prepared for us and topped it off with the bottle of champagne. We talked and laughed as usual but made little reference to what exactly was going to happen. I could tell Susan was nervous. Once we had finished, we sat on the sofa and I turned talk towards the serum.
So, I've got everything in here,
I said, raising the lockbox. When I took this by accident, it was breathed in, so I've created a kind of single-use inhaler for you to use. It should be safer and more efficient. Susan sat in silence but with a smile.
Just so you know, Susan, you can still back out of this. I know you said you wanted to do it this morning, but the fact is this is still an unproven formula. It worked on me, but it could have just been a fluke. I haven't tested this on anyone else yet, so I don't know if we even should, to be honest.
Susan placed a hand on my knee and hushed me.
It's okay, Sion, I appreciate what you are saying, but I also trust you have done everything you possibly can to make sure that this is as safe as possible. I understand there are risks, but I am willing to try this. It's just it is still a big decision and a big change, so I'm still sort of processing it, okay?
Okay, I said, trying to hide my nerves. I was sure this would work, certain even. And I wanted Susan to be able to feel what I felt. It was time.
So, shall we do this?
Let's go,
she replied. I passed her the inhaler and watched nervously as she checked it over. She put the dispenser hole in her mouth and pressed down the release. I heard the pressure from the inhaler releasing as she breathed the serum in. She removed the inhaler from her mouth and took a small cough.
Are you okay?
I frantically asked.
I'm so sorry, I should have used a less forceful canister.
It's okay, she said, her breath almost caught. It was just a little shock, you know. She passed me back the empty inhaler which I placed back into the lockbox.
So what happens now? She asked.
Well, it took nearly a week before I noticed I could make any changes, but that was by accident and I'd been in isolation. Because you're aware of it, I'm pretty sure that it will take less time, but I can't be sure.
Susan?
Susan. Whilst I had been talking, she had grown groggier and groggier and had now collapsed on the sofa.
Oh my God, Susan, what have I done?
I darted towards her in sheer panic. My immediate thought was that I had just killed the love of my life. I had convinced her to take an experimental and unproven drug that had killed every other being it had come into contact with other than me. How could I have been so stupid? Tears streaming down my face at what I had done, I checked for her pulse and heartbeat. Her pulse was there, she was alive. She was still breathing, but it was slow and drawn out, like she was in an incredibly deep sleep. This revelation abetted my panic somewhat, but we weren't out of the woods yet, not at all. There was every chance she could be in some sort of a coma, or brain dead. I wasn't going to let myself off the hook so easily. Doing the only thing I could think to do, I moved her from the sofa to our bed and laid her down so she was resting flat on her back with her head against her pillow. She looked peaceful and beautiful as usual, but I couldn't get the idea out of my head that something had gone horribly wrong. I should have been anticipated that at the very least she might lose consciousness. It was exactly what had happened to me. I should have picked up on that. I should have waited until we could test it further instead of giving into my desire. I should have ran more tests on myself to understand what was happening. I should have.
Sion?
She was awake. More importantly, she was alive. Relief, fear, panic, concern, all were colliding in my brain.
Susan! Are you okay? How do you feel?
I feel alright, just a bit groggy.
Did I pass out?
Yes, you did, I'm so sorry, I should have prepared you for that, I completely forgot.
It's okay, hun, calm down.
I'm still here, I'm still with you. She propped herself up on the bed, still in the clothes she had been wearing whilst we had dinner. I sat down next to her, feeling better for being in closer proximity to her.
Do we know if it's worked?
Came her bleary response.
Well, I didn't notice for at least a week, but I was in isolation and had no idea what I was looking for anyway.
I said, continuing what I had been speaking about before Susan collapsed.
Potentially, it could already be possible for you to change something. When I started out, I began by saying what I wanted out loud so I could visualize it in my mind, and then my body just kind of did its own thing.
Okay, let's try that then. Close your eyes, think about what you want, visualize it, and keep it in your mind as you say it out loud.
Susan closed her eyes and took a deep breath.
I want bigger boobs, she said out loud. It was a classic choice, but maybe not what I would have expected given how perfect hers already were. Maybe she was just following my lead. It took a moment, but suddenly I started to hear the familiar sound of flesh swelling up and the creak of the blouse Susan was wearing as it tried to hold her in.
Oh God, Sion, this is amazing!
She moaned, living every moment I did the first time I grew on purpose. Her tits were looking heavier and fuller than they had ever done before, and I could see her blouse was fighting against them. It wouldn't be long until.
Susan, hun, you might want to undo your blouse.
Either she couldn't hear me or she didn't care. One by one the buttons popped off of her blouse, eliciting an ooh from Susan with each pop until finally the blouse lost the battle, and Susan's now humongous tits hung triumphantly in front of her. Luckily, she hadn't been wearing a bra, or doubtless that would have also been ruined. Her growth had finally come to a stop.
Wow, she said, panting slightly.
Wow indeed, I replied. Watching Susan grow like that had almost been more than I could handle. I was holding myself together, not wanting to take away from Susan's moment, but the instinct to match her boob size and then maybe even exceed it was incredibly hard to overcome. She looked down at the snowy mountains that had just sprouted from her, and gave them a wiggle side to side, making her giggle and resulting in a very pleasing sway and wobble. She looked up at me with a devilish grin and slightly biting her lower lip.
Do you want to give these new milk factories a try?
She asked me. Every dream I had had about Susan had now come true. We were in love, she was completely mine, I was completely hers, and now she wanted me to suck her tits dry of milk. I was one incredibly lucky woman.
You'll have to focus on it, hun, but yes, yes I do.
I moved to her right breast and lifted it with my hand.
It was so heavy.
I raised it to my mouth and started to suck, looking up at Susan and signaling with my eyes that I was ready.
I want my tits to produce gallons of milk,
she said out loud. Responding to her wishes with vim and vigor, milk immediately started to shoot out of Susan's tit into my mouth, a strong and steady stream, as if someone had switched on a tap at full pressure.
Woohoo, yes,
she moaned as I struggled to keep up with the flow of milk, gulping down liter after liter,
feeling my stomach starting to swell and distend to try and accommodate the sheer mass of milk entering my body.
"Drink it all, Sian!"
she cried as she grabbed the back of my head and pushed me further into her bosom. I was in heaven. Susan's milk tasted sweeter than my own, and to know it was hers and not just me imitating her was an even bigger thrill. My stomach was hanging over the waistline of my trousers now, heavy with Susan's milk which was still pumping into my body at an alarming rate. I was slowly fading away, nothing else mattered but the here and the now, and what we were doing together. I slowly started to realize that that fade was not pure pleasure. I was struggling to breathe. A combination of the sheer mass of Susan's boob, the incredible volume of milk still pumping into me and Susan's hand on the back of my head as she moaned and cried out in pleasure, was blocking any air getting into my body. I tried to pull away but she wouldn't let me.
"No, there's more, Sian, there's more, take it all!"
she cried. I had no option but to succumb to the encroaching darkness. My body started to go limp. My vision slowly faded.
"Oh God, I'm so sorry!"
I suddenly heard, the voice seemingly distant but becoming louder like an echo approaching me. Susan had let go of the back of my head and I pulled away and coughed, spatters of milk falling from my mouth as I did so.
"I'm so sorry, Sian, I got completely lost in the feeling, I had no idea. It's okay,"
I said, trying to catch my breath. My stomach wobbled beneath me, and I could almost hear Susan's milk sloshing around in the vast, medicine ball-like space it was inhabiting. My body had accounted for the change and made room for all of the milk, otherwise I may have drowned in it or popped at some point. It felt so good to be so full of Susan's milk. Susan was still clearly upset at the state I was in. I looked into her eyes and with a laugh said,
"I think we might have to agree on a safe word for next time."
"Next time?" she said with the beginnings of a smile.
Chapter 06
It's gone again. The time had finally come to resume testing of the serum. I had irrefutable proof that it worked in some capacity based on the effect it had on both myself and Susan, but I was still curious as to why it didn't work on the rats we had tried it on and still wasn't ready to reveal my secret to my coworkers. The rat that we had given the serum to this morning was now laying dead on a test slab. It didn't make sense. Why would the serum be deadly to rats but produce such incredible results in humans? Either way, this would prompt us to make further changes to the existing formula, but knowing its real potential, I was not keen to press forward. "I want us to be doubly sure this time," I told my team, eliciting a few perturbed looks at the prospect of staying where we were.
"Look, I think there's potential here and we didn't properly autopsy the last test subject. Who knows what we may have found.
But the last subject was fine when we left here, Dr. Bowley, what happened to it?" asked Ellen. In all the excitement, confusion, and secrecy, it had never occurred to me to let my team know exactly what had happened with the previous rat. I had assumed they knew what had happened. They had access to the biohazard report which would have clearly noted a dead rat in the biohazard waste bin.
"Unfortunately, that test subject died, the same as this one has. I had just finished disposing of it when all of the commotion started to happen."
"So, the subject had already died before the biohazard team went in?"
"Yes, that's what I just said."
"What a ridiculous question," I thought.
"That's really strange, Dr. Bowley," said Ellen.
"The report says that the biohazard team had to euthanize a rat when they got in here. We had all assumed that it had escaped and that that was what prompted you to drop the samples and start the lockdown."
"What?
It's in the report, Dr. Bowley, I assumed you had read it." This was impossible. The rat had been dead, I checked it myself. How could I have missed that? I was overworked and tired, sure, but to miss that a living being was still alive. No, absolutely not. The rat had been stone dead, I was certain of it. It was as dead as the one laying on the slab right now. I looked in shock at the space where a dead rat had been not moments ago. Sat happily grooming itself was a healthy, happy and very alive rat. How? How was this possible?
"It's alive!"
shouted one of the other lab technicians, probably missing the irony of such a statement in the setting we were in. The team rushed to the area where the rat was whilst I stood dumbfounded. I was trying desperately to understand what I was seeing. Think, Sian, think. What had I missed? The original subject had been dead. No discernible heartbeat or other vital signs that I was sure of. But then how had it raised from the dead? This was science, not necromancy. I spotted one of the technicians beginning to check the rat over, checking its eyesight, its hearing, its heartbeat.
Wait.
Its heartbeat. Why was that important? A part of my brain was screaming the answer to me, but I couldn't make out what it was saying. Think, damn it, think. Finally, it hit me, like a 1,000-ton weight had suddenly dropped on my head. The rat had no discernible heartbeat, but that didn't mean there wasn't one. When both I and Susan had taken the serum, we had both collapsed not long after. Observably, Susan had had a pulse, but it was faint and slow. Indeed, until I had checked that, I had thought she was dead. Could it be that as a rat's heartbeat was so faint anyway, we had all missed it after it had collapsed? Accepting that as a truth, more and more of what happened that night began to make sense. Why had I never thought to question what had caused the loud crashing sound from behind me that had prompted me to drop the samples in the first place? It seemed so clear now. The rat that I had disposed of had reawakened in the biohazard bin. It had panicked, and in its panic to get out had knocked the bin over, causing the loud noise. It may have even expanded as a reaction to its panic, causing the same result. Either way, the knowledge that the biohazard team had had to euthanize it changed everything. I finally understood entirely what had happened that night. It was nothing but a freak accident.
"Dr. Bowley?"
Ellen was stood before me looking very excited.
I snapped out of my haze of thought.
Yes, Ellen?
The subject is perfectly healthy and ready for further testing. Where would you like to start?
Take a blood sample, I said, acting on autopilot.
Right away.
I watched as she excitedly ran back over to the lab area. This was incredible. But the ramifications were potentially severe. We had designed the serum to be used to help people to naturally replace failed organs, missing limbs and so on, not to be able to change themselves cosmetically whenever they pleased. This changed the landscape entirely. I had my reservations about how the company would have used the serum in the first place, but I had jumped on the opportunity to make these strides to allow for the world to be a better place. Had we succeeded exactly as we had planned, I had intended to make the formula public knowledge, so that no one company could monopolize it and use it as a way to keep the rich alive and to damn the people who actually needed it. The idea was good in principle, but now that I understood the effects of the serum more clearly, it was not a viable option. If anything, it was inherently dangerous. Allowing people to be what or whoever they wanted sounded like a dream scenario, but in the wrong hands the effects would be disastrous. I knew that it was possible to entirely mimic someone, even down to their voice. I had done it myself by accident. Give that ability to someone with less honorable intentions, shall we say, and the damage they could cause would be immeasurable. The other side of that problem would be what the company might do with it if given the chance. I had visions in my mind of a collection of the elite of the world, all able to make themselves whatever the accepted version of perfect was, all provided at exorbitant cost thanks to my hard work. It was a vision of the world I could not abide. No one could know about the serum's potential. No one. Luckily, a rat did not have the cognitive ability to specifically change, so my team shouldn't be able to.
Dr. Bowley! We need help!
There was a loud commotion coming from the lab area. I ran over to the crowd of lab technicians and scientists, all of whom seemed to be trying to hold something down. I finally saw what was causing the problem. Before me was a rat the size of a dog. It had clearly panicked when someone had tried to take a blood sample from it, and, much like myself when I had confronted Carl, had willed its way into rapidly growing much larger than it had any natural right to be to try and escape.
Get a sedative, now!
I barked at one of the technicians. He quickly returned with a syringe which I plunged into the rat, causing it to slowly start to calm and fade until it was finally unconscious again. A few seconds later it started to shrink back to its normal size, at least confirming my suspicions that that was something that naturally occurs with this ability. The team was stood panting and shocked. I had the opportunity to control their reactions here and derail whatever thoughts they might have been having about the success of the project.
There's clearly something we've missed about this formula. As much as it pains me to say it, I think we need to take a few steps back, starting with euthanizing this subject. It's too much of a danger to itself and to us. But we don't know what its potential to reanimate is or even if that's what it did before, so we need to incinerate the body as soon as it has been dealt with. We have no choice.
There were a few grim nods of agreement. I didn't want to have to do that to the rat. It had done nothing wrong other than panicking in a situation it had every right to panic in. But there was so much more at stake here. As I sat eating the meal that Susan had prepared for us, my mind was racing around what had happened today, and even if she hadn't been as in tune with my emotions as she was, I think she would have been able to tell something was wrong.
Something on your mind, hun? She asked.
Lots, to be honest. I truthfully replied.
Anything you want to talk about?
My instinct was to say no. But I trusted Susan so implicitly, I felt like I could tell her anything. So I ignored my instincts and pressed ahead.
Did I ever tell you what I was going to do with the serum once we had perfected it?
Susan shrugged.
I just assumed the company would take over production, and it would go from there.
Exactly, the company would have taken over.
This was supposed to be something to change the world, not to line the pockets of people looking to profit from it.
So, I was going to make the formula public so that anyone could use it.
But you would have been fired.
Sued to all hell, even sent to prison maybe.
I know, but I didn't care. It felt like poetic justice to use the company's money to develop something that would benefit the entire world and then just share it with everybody. That was the plan anyway.
I took a sip of water.
But today we tested the serum on another rat. I knew that it worked on humans, so I was curious to see why it seemingly hadn't worked on our previous subjects. But this time it did. I was overjoyed.
I bet. Susan politely responded.
But then it made me think about my original plan. About what would happen if such a thing were freely available to everyone. It could do wonders, Sian. Look at the positive change it's made for you, for us. Other people could have that too.
I know it could, hun. But think of all the bad it could do too.
Like what if, I don't know, someone decides one day that they want to be the president. Theoretically, they could just turn themselves into whoever it is and replace them.
It's an extreme example, I know, but it's the kind of thing that makes it too dangerous for this to exist on the open market. Susan was quiet for a moment, clearly taking in what I had said.
So, what are you going to do then?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't want the company to have it, so the obvious answer would be to destroy the project altogether. But I also can't ignore the good that this could do for people. And if I decide to keep the serum for myself, what do I do with it? Do I pick and choose people to give it to, people I deem worthy enough? Can I really play God like that?
Susan had gotten up and was now next to me, resting her arms on my shoulder and clearly sensing my building distress.
You'll do what you always do, Sian. She said. You'll do the right thing, and I'll be right here by your side whatever you choose.
She laid a tender kiss on my lips and I kissed her back.
Thank you, Susan. I don't know what I'd do without you.
Damn right you don't. She replied with a wicked grin.
I laughed as we embraced. I love you, Susan. It was the first time I had said it out loud. It felt so right to hear those words coming out of my mouth. She smiled and with not a moment's hesitation replied. I love you too, Sian. Our evening had taken its usual route. We drank, laughed, and ended up in the bedroom. We were laid naked and had been kissing and gently fondling each other for a few minutes. I have a surprise for you tonight, hun, said Susan seductively. Oh, really? I returned mid-kiss. Something we've never done before. She continued, somehow managing to talk whilst her tongue was rolling around my mouth, or at least felt that way anyway. Something you've never done before, to be specific. I'm intrigued, I replied as she started to move down my body to between my legs, laying kisses wherever and whenever she stopped as she moved down and sending bolts of pleasure through my body. She stopped at my pussy and gave it an exploratory lick, drawing a moan from me as she did. You're very wet tonight, hun, she said with a smirk. A beautiful woman who I love has just licked my pussy. I think I can be given some slack here, I jibed back. Susan sat up with a wicked smile. Close your eyes, hun. I did as I was told, instinctively biting my lip, a habit I had picked up from Susan, as I eagerly awaited what she had planned for me. I suddenly felt something press against my pussy. Too big to be a finger, and the wrong shape to be a tongue. What's more, it seemed to be pulsing. But wait, was that? Is that a cock? I opened my eyes and beheld the sight before me. Susan was knelt proudly in front of me, the same, stunning Susan as always but with what must have been a 6-inch erect cock poking out just above where her vagina was, currently pressed against my eager pussy. Do you like what you see? She asked, clearly very excited about this. I'm in shock, Susan, came my honest reply. You've had such a stressful week and I've had a lot of time to experiment with myself whilst you were at work. You've never been penetrated by a cock before, have you, Sian? At this point I hadn't, only my own fingers. I hadn't even used a dildo before. I shook my head. Would you like me to penetrate you with mine? It was an offer I wasn't about to refuse. Susan moved her cock to the opening of my pussy, and I shivered in anticipation as she placed an arm either side of my torso ready to push herself in. Are you ready? She asked, gazing deeply into my eyes. All I wanted at this moment was Susan inside of me. My response was barely audible, but she understood. With a single thrust, she buried all 6 inches of her cock in my hungry pussy. We both let out a huge synchronized moan of pleasure. I had never felt anything like it in my life. My pussy felt full and stretched out and was sending lightning strikes of ecstasy to every corner of my body. I could feel Susan's cock pulsating and twitching inside me, each little movement sending out a further wave of pleasure. Susan started pulling in and out in a slow, smooth movement, pushing forward just as she was almost fully in with a quick thrust that sent a jolt through my whole body. I could feel my tits swelling more and more with each thrust, as if she was filling me up with it. Grabbing one of my boobs, she said, You must be enjoying this, Sian. Look at how big and full your boobs are getting. It's so good. I moaned back. She gave another wicked smile. I'm not done with you yet. She closed her eyes as if she was concentrating. It suddenly felt like her thrusts were getting deeper. Oh God! Or that her cock was getting wider. Oh fuck! I looked into her eyes, and I saw a mixture of lust, desire, and pride. Did you just make your cock grow inside me? I asked as I squirmed with pleasure. Do you like it? I fucking love it. My tits were starting to pour milk everywhere as Susan kept thrusting in, stretching me out and filling me up with her enormous cock. I could no longer tell if I was orgasming or not. The pleasure was never ending. Suck the milk out of my tits, Susan! I cried between waves of ecstasy. If I do that, I'll come Sian, she warned. Then come for me, Susan, I can't take much more. Susan did as she was asked, what I had begged her to do. She started eagerly sucking the milk out of my tit, her own moans growing with intensity at each suck. Come inside me, Susan, I want all of it. With a final thrust forward that felt like it would break my back wall, Susan let go of my boob and let out a huge moan, as we came in unison. I could feel the hot, thick seed pumping out of Susan into my womb, filling my insides at every corner. She kept coming and coming, like her body had taken over and started to mass produce her cum. My stomach was starting to bloat and stretch as endless floods of cum filled me up, until finally, she was done. She collapsed next to me on the bed as I laid rubbing my full belly. So you've been practicing that then? I asked between heavy pants. All week, she replied. Not bad, I said through a sly grin. Not bad, eh? She replied with a smile of her own. What was I not big enough for you? Any bigger and I'd have permanent damage. I laughed. You'd be surprised what you can take, she purred back. Maybe I won't be the one taking next time. Promises, promises, she said, laying her head on my still enormous boobs. Sex with Susan had always been incredible. She was a passionate, driven and sensual lover and apparently more inventive than I had perhaps given her credit for. I never would have thought of changing my body like that, and for her to do it while still being her and not changing anything else was ingenious. I don't think I'd have enjoyed being fucked like that by the image of some random guy, even if it was really Susan, but seeing Susan grinding away on top of me, filling me up like that, I could live on for days. I'm sure she knew this, which is why it probably took some effort and practice to get right. Work had begun on refining the formula for the serum. I took charge of disposing of the old samples, a job normally I would have delegated to a lab technician, but I had plans for the remaining vials.
I had decided with Susan that the serum could do too much good to be destroyed completely. I would retrieve the remaining vials from work and we would keep them in a specifically purchased and secure refrigerator until such a time as it was necessary for them to be used again, if indeed that day ever came. I had just secretly placed the samples in my bag when I received a text message from Susan. It read, "Carl has come back."
Chapter 07.
Fuck! It was something I should have anticipated. When I had intimidated Carl and he had abandoned Susan that night, it was naive of me to think we would never see him again. It had been nearly 3 months with no signs of him, and whilst he hadn't necessarily been forgotten, he was rarely at the forefront of our minds. I sped home as fast as my car could take me without being pulled over, my bag containing the serum samples on the passenger seat. I wanted to get there fast, but I couldn't risk an unnecessary delay like a speeding ticket. The temptation to put the pedal to the metal was strong, particularly as I didn't know what Carl was planning or was capable of. Hopefully I would return to nothing more than a domestic that he could be talked down from. Hopefully. As I pulled into the drive, I could see that Carl was in my house, and he was shouting at Susan. I could feel the knot of rage starting to build in my chest, but I had to keep control. If I lost my temper with him, who knows what I would have done this time. I entered the house, not even stopping to close the car door, and immediately heard the shouting. "You're my fucking wife, Susan. Stop siding with that bitch. You better not be talking about me," I interjected. Immediately he looked startled and backed away. "Keep away from me, you fucking freak. I'm here for my wife." I was about to lay into him, maybe verbally, maybe physically, I'm not sure, but Susan stopped me. She looked calm and composed, like she was in control. So I deferred to her. She turned back to Carl. "Carl, if you refer to me again as just my wife one more time, we are going to have an even bigger problem here." Carl looked stunned. Clearly he had never been spoken back to like this. "I am no one's property, Carl, least of all yours. You abandoned me in the middle of the night, leaving me a house and bills I couldn't afford and no other friends in this place except Sion. You belittled me, you undermined me, and you disrespected me, so you have no right to pass any judgment on the decisions I have made or the lifestyle I lead anymore. Now you said your piece, now you are trespassing on Sion's property. If you don't leave, we will call the police." Carl looked directly at me, fury starting to burn in his eyes. "What have you done to her?" he demanded. "She has done nothing to me, Carl," Susan continued. "Except treat me like an actual human being and not just some accessory she can dress and treat as she pleases." Carl was still seemingly ignoring Susan. "You've done something to her, you've drugged her. Look at me, Carl, for God's sake." I had never heard Susan so angry before. It felt like every emotion, every moment she was made to feel less than wanted, every time she had been made to doubt herself was fighting back. "You did this. Not her. Everything that has happened is your fault. And like a coward you ran as soon as anyone stood up to you about it. I am not your wife anymore. I am not your personal toy anymore. I am not anything to you now except a painful memory." The emotion was exploding from Susan now. It was remarkable that she hadn't already given in to the anger that must have been burning up inside of her, but I could see she was on the verge of tears. I ran towards her and took her in my arms. "Oh, I see what this is," Carl sneered. "You frightened me away so you could bed my wife, you sick pervert. Susan has made her feelings very clear, Carl," I said, struggling to keep control. "It would be best if you left. Does she know what you are? Does she know that you're a freak? You want to know who she is, Carl?" Susan erupted. "She's the woman I love and the one I am going to spend the rest of my life with." My heart swelled at her declaration. I had imagined us growing old together, but it had seemed fanciful so soon into our relationship. To hear she felt exactly the same was life-affirming. "That's the difference, Carl," I began, emboldened by Susan's words. "She loves me regardless of who or what I am, and I love her regardless of who or what she is. You had that unconditional love from her before, but you threw it away. That's on you, Carl. Take some accountability for your own actions for once in your life." "Susan, honey, I can do better, please. I know that things weren't going great," he pleaded. "I have a new house, a new job, a new life. All that's missing is you. Please come with me." "You're not getting any more chances, Carl," Susan said. "Leave. Go to your new house, go to your new job, go to your new life and leave me with mine." I moved towards him to try and usher him out of our home. "Get back," he screamed. "Leave our home. I will only ask you one more time, Carl." "I said get back." Carl frantically reached into his inside pocket and pulled out a gun. His hand was shaking as he rested his finger on the trigger and pointed it directly at me. "Carl!" Susan screamed. "You've ruined my life. You took her away from me," he screamed through tears. "Leave our home, Carl." There was a loud crack, like the sound of lightning striking a tree. I was knocked back, as if I had been struck hard in the ribs, like someone had swung a sledgehammer towards me and it had made contact. I placed my hand where the impact had hit and felt that it was damp and warm. I could hear screaming somewhere in the room. Susan screaming. I moved my hand away from me to see it caked it red. I fell to the floor as I tried to understand what had happened. Slowly I started to be able to make out what was being said, but with that came a searing pain, unlike anything I had ever felt before. I let out a scream as I realized what had happened. Carl had shot me. "What have you done?" I heard Susan wail through tears. My vision was blurred, but I could see Carl still stood there, gun in his outstretched hand, almost frozen in place.
Susan was by my side, cradling my head and sobbing uncontrollably.
No, 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 please, Sion, please, I can't lose you.
I could feel that bullet had punctured my lung, and it was making it hard to breathe as blood flowed freely from the wound. This was it. This was how it ended. After living in bliss for such a short time, the universe decided it would take it all away in the shape of a paranoid ex-husband and a bullet. It wasn't fair. I didn't want to die. I wanted to live. To grow old with Susan, to share the rest of my life with her however long that may be. I wanted this fucking bullet out of my body. I wanted my lung to patch itself back together. I wanted there to be no sign that I had ever even been shot. I wanted to get back up and kill this prick.
Sion?
I began to stand, the pain in my body starting to subside. My eyes were fixed solely on Carl as he watched in terror. I rose from the ground and stood firm in front of him. He dropped the gun and cowered away from me.
You're a fucking monster, stay away from me! He cried. I'm not the one who just shot someone out of jealousy.
I retorted as I made my way towards him. He crumpled in a mess on the floor and began to beg.
Please, please don't kill me, I don't want to die.
I had thought about ending him. It had been a motivation for me to stand and face him again. But no.
I'm not going to kill you, you pathetic excuse for a human being. I'm not bringing myself down to your level and frankly, it isn't worth my time or Susan's time dealing with you anymore.
So here's what you're going to do. You are going to leave here, you are going to return to the life you claim to have made for yourself. You are going to send pre-signed divorce documents back to this house where Susan will complete them, and then you are going to have nothing to do with either of us for the rest of your life. Do you understand?
Yes.
He whimpered. Oh, and one more thing. I said, bending down to pick up the empty shell casing from when he fired the gun. You are going to take this with you as a constant reminder of what you did, and what it cost you. I thrust the casing into his hand. Now go. He scrambled to his feet and left, much like he had done on the night I had first confronted him. Once a coward, always a coward. I turned to Susan with a smile and she rushed forward, tears falling down her face.
Oh God, Sion! It's okay, Susan, it's okay.
I said, cradling her head.
You've stopped bleeding.
I checked the side of my chest. I had indeed stopped bleeding. There also didn't seem to be a wound, not even a scar, and the pain had gone.
I guess I didn't want to leave you so my body wouldn't let me.
I said, smiling at Susan.
So we can do that? We can heal ourselves?
She replied, dumbfounded.
I guess so.
Wow. Yeah. There was a moment of silence as we took this information in.
Can we lie down, Susan? God, I'm tired.
The effort required to do what I did, to force my body to heal itself whilst I had been in such a state of shock and pain had been massive. We were laid on the bed together, Susan slowly stroking my hair as I rested my head on her chest. It was a lot of information for both of us to process. I had thought back over what I was feeling and what I was thinking at the time to try and understand it. We had found the bullet on the floor beside the puddle of my blood. The only explanation I could think of was that my body had reacted to my want to stay alive by repairing itself with new cells, ironically completing the task the serum had been originally designed for. I would have preferred not to have been shot to find that out, but at least now we knew. This left us both with another big question, however. If, theoretically, our will to live remained strong enough, would we ever die? Could we ever die even? The potential ramifications of this were huge. But if I was going to spend eternity with anyone, I couldn't think of anyone better than the love of my life.
Susan?
I said.
Yes, Sion?
I love you.
I love you too.
The bell of the microwave rang through the house as it finished heating up the leftovers from last night's dinner. Ellen broke herself away from the table that had consumed most of her time this evening and grabbed the plate before sitting back down. The table in front of her was covered with documents, reports of what had happened the night of the incident, lab results on tests they had conducted on the serum and most intriguingly of all an audit of all of the personal tests and trials Dr. Bowley had been conducting. Dr. Bowley had been acting strangely for a few months now. Ellen had worked for her for a relatively short time, just less than a year. But even she had noticed a change in the doctor's behavior. She had been logical, emotionless, cold even, but it made her a brilliant scientist, and someone Ellen looked up to. Ellen considered herself to be very much like Dr. Bowley, calculating and intelligent, if she did say so herself, but she felt she lacked the killer edge, the drive to do whatever was needed to succeed. Which was why it had piqued her interest so much when Dr. Bowley suddenly changed. She had pieced everything together in her mind and by process of elimination had determined that it had to have something to do with the incident. What was boiling her brain now was why. What had happened that night? And why was Dr. Bowley so different now? And among the official documents were her own scribbled notes.
Flirted with Dan, of all people, very unusual, keeps ordering 3D printing, why? Ran tissue sample test not long after the incident.
Whose were they? Could be hers, something different about her appearance, can't figure out what, new clothes maybe? What does this have to do with the serum?
Ellen sighed as she observed the mess of papers on her table. It was going to be another long evening, but she would work it out sooner or later. It was only a matter of time.
The end. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. We offer a free Erotica podcast and a premium patron taboo podcast that contains more intensely sexual themes. You can support the Erotica Podcast on Patreon to make requests for subjects. Thank you for listening.